Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of the Big Dizzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through the facilities of Shake and Wake Radio and the Truth Be Told Radio Networks. Welcome to the show. Folks, we are a viewer-supported station, so I always like to ask for a little bit of help at the beginning of the shows because these people would really appreciate it. They work hard to bring us good content and good shows all the time. So, like I said many times on my shows, if you can afford a cup of coffee a month to these networks, they would much appreciate that. A cup of coffee ain't much, but if you multiply that times 50 or 100 people, it would really help them take care of some of the expenses. Before I put the batteries in the Duracell bunny here, because when I do, I won't be talking much this first hour, but I do want to say a couple things about what's happened in British Columbia this week and a lot of people I know, even down the Lower Mainland and the interior, that have been directly affected by the historic flooding we've seen in British Columbia. Keep them in your thoughts right now, guys, because many, many thousands of people's lives are being uprooted. And we're being told today that we have another storm coming in that's going to dump huge amounts of water on the interior in a couple days from now. So the scenario only seems to be getting worse. Our supply chains in British Columbia are totally disrupted. The store shelves are literally empty. And I witnessed that myself today in the grocery store. I've never seen anything like that. It's causing hoarding and causing society to really kind of take a spin off right now. So keep them in your thoughts today, and hopefully it improves, but looks like we're in for a bit of a rough ride. Okay, I'm putting the batteries in Roger right now, and of course, the Duracell bunny we all know I'm referring to, my good friend Roger Landry, who is gracious enough to join me here every couple of weeks to have a discussion about some of the craziness we see going on in the world. And Roger really has something that he wants to bring forward today. I just read the article on what Roger's going to talk about today, and some of the information he's about to expose to you is damning, to say the least. Welcome back to the show, Roger. Always great to have you in, my friend.
Yeah, next time you put the batteries in, be a little bit more careful, okay? That hurts.
Okay. We'll just leave that one there, Roger.
Okay.
Okay. Now. Okay, what are you saying? Okay. Look, all joking aside, welcome back.
And it's always great to be here with you, Barry. It really is. I never hold it against you that you're Canadian, because you never hold it against me that I'm American. So it works. So it works. All right. Look, as far as what you said, you alluded to, let me start this ball rolling by saying about 8 to 10 months ago on your show, I discussed about a half a dozen things that most people who may not have done the level of research that you, me, or Steve have done on certain topics, they were listening to me going, this guy's got to be crazy. This stuff can't be real. There's no way this can be true. Where does he get his facts from? And when I say these things, I usually say these things because this is all I do. I literally work 18 hours a day. There's proof of that. It's not an exaggeration. I have literally not had a day off in over 12 years. Stop and think about what I'm saying. Every single day I am writing articles, publishing articles, posting articles, doing research, and doing shows with phenomenal people like Barry. So when I say things, it's not a matter of I just thought of this and, oh my God, I just pulled this fact out of nowhere. No, it's from having read every single day every new piece of news that I can possibly stuff in my head. It's from writing thousands, no, not joking, thousands of articles. It's from doing thousands of shows, not a joke, absolute facts. When you sit back and you have all of this information to draw from, it's easier to come to conclusions that have some sense of accuracy. About a month ago, actually about 2 months ago, I said something on Barry's show. And what I said was, and I actually said this about a year ago, but I wasn't quite as convinced as I was the last time I said it on a show. I said, these vaccines are the most dangerous pharmaceutical instrument ever used on humanity. Oh, my God. Guess what? There's now information and data to prove that. I'm going to tell you that the H1N1 vaccine, when it was being used – It was the most dangerous and damning vaccine ever used on humanity. It had a death rate. Listen to me. It had a death rate of 1 per million. One person out of a million getting that shot died. And at that point in time, they thought that was horrible. As a matter of fact, in the mid-70s, there was a vaccine that caused 35 deaths, and it was immediately pulled off of the market as being too dangerous. Now, I just got done telling you that the statistics prove that the H1N1 vaccine had a death rate of 1 per million, and it was considered to be the most dangerous vaccine ever used on humanity. Now I'm going to really put you in your place, people. Listen to me. It is not 1 in a million for the COVID vaccines, okay? It's 820 for every million. So what I'm telling you is that the COVID vaccines are over 800 times more deadly than any vaccine ever used on humanity, but you damn right well better take it or else. Did you hear what I just said? The article, Barry has the article. If he publishes something, and I will publish this tomorrow with an article, and I will make sure the link to that article is there so everybody can see it. Go to the Liberty Beacon tomorrow, or if Barry puts something out, check and see what Barry puts out. What I'm talking about is a vaccine that is 820 times more dangerous than the most deadly vaccine in recorded history. But you better take it. Can anybody listening to this give any sanity to that at all? Anybody? Because you can't. We are being stuffed into genocide, whether you like it or not. And I'm just warming up. I am. Do you know who's at most in most danger right now due to these vaccines? Your children are. And the more the vaccines are rolled out, the more of our kids are dying, or the more of our kids are being maimed for life. Right now, there's even a study out that's stating the vaccines are more deadly to humanity than COVID could be. More people, and this is what the scientist says who did the research, it appears to us that more people today are dying from COVID vaccines than from COVID.
These are the short-term effects, Roger. What's it going to do long-term?
That's exactly what the researchers say as well. We're talking about damage that happens within months or weeks or even days, and in some cases, hours. Mm-hmm. But a majority of the researchers will tell you that the death from this will happen over the next decade. That's 10 years, people. We're going to have people dying mostly from heart conditions, mostly from organ failure, mostly from, and it's going to start moving down to the younger in within our civilizations here, the younger and the younger and the younger. And now the CDC and how many other places across the planet have said it's okay to give 5-year-olds these shots. Let me explain something to people, okay? Do you know how many recorded deaths there are for 5-year-olds from COVID on this planet? Zero! Do you know how many kids have died or been severely injured by COVID shots? A hell of a lot!
Why? They just started to roll it out, Roger. Northern Health here in British Columbia just approved it. And you know what? You know what scares me, Roger? I'm going to let you keep going because I know this is something that absolutely drives you nuts. But one of the polls I was looking at this week told me that 71% of the population will not give this to their children, but 29% of parents will give this to their child. I say to myself and I say to the people, what is wrong with that 29%? Why would anybody, Roger? Well, for one, I'm going to let you go because I know this is something that just, it drives you crazy. It drives me nuts. But the most important thing people got to realize, Roger, is that it's their absolute duty to give you complete informed consent, especially when it comes to a child, of all the possible side effects of this jab. I'm not going to call it a vaccine because it's not a vaccine. I'm going to refer to it as a jab. It blows my mind that society would even think about allowing this to be injected into the children, because what you just said about the stats about this affecting children, well, I went to the Canadian Health. I went to the websites here in Canada available, giving me numbers, breaking down the age denomination and the amount of cases. And you're absolutely correct. The ages of 12 and under, there's nothing. Even from the age of 20 down, I think there was 3 recorded in Canada, and 2 of those had comorbidity factors. So this doesn't affect our children in any shape or form. But here we are putting masks. Well, yes, it does, because we're masking them up. We're causing permanent neurological damage in their bodies. We're absolutely screwing their minds up as far as their social development goes. We're turning them to little robots that will be completely obedient. We're putting fear in their hearts that should never be put into the heart of a young child. And now we're going to stick this poison in their body. My God, folks, what the hell's wrong with civilization, Roger? Like I said, I'm wearing a hole through the rubber in my wall. Go ahead.
We've got to give these kids this shot. Are you kidding me? If we're responsible parents, we've got to give these, because after all, their chances of dying, a kid's chances, not mine, I'm 67, but a kid's chance of dying, okay, is 0.0003.
Oh, my God. I got to go get my kid vaccinated tomorrow, Roger. My God.
What you need to understand, okay? Kids don't die from this. The reason they don't die from this is because it has the striking power of the flu. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of scientists out there that say this is probably just another form of the flu. The entire mechanism of fear that is being spread across the entire planet is for one reason and one reason only. Do your research. It's a global monetary reset. It's putting the entire surviving, listen to me, the entire surviving population under global governance. Now, what do I mean by surviving population? This is something Barry and I have just alluded to a couple of times, okay? Over the next 10 years, although you'll see a big chunk of it happening within the first year, but over the next 10 years, it is estimated we could lose anywhere from 60 to 80% of humanity. No, I'm not joking. If I was joking, why the hell would I even be on this show talking about this? I am taking everything I'm telling you from information that is available if you just take the time to look for it. If you are thinking about vaccinating your children, it's probably because you already got vaccinated. And hey, it didn't immediately kill you, so all this stuff everybody else is saying is a lot of hype. Let me tell you what a danger you are to your children, okay? Because if children get vaccinated, the biggest amount of heart issues is going to be in our young men, meaning ages like 8 to about 20. Okay, the carditis. This affects the younger males, okay?
Yep.
If you stop to consider how many of you freak out every single year when flu season comes around, how many of you rush to the doctor and have your child vaccinated for something that, I don't know, may make them sick for a day or two? They may run a low-grade fever, but they're never going to get that flu again. Why? Because their body has built a natural immunity to it. I'm going to tell you something again, and I told you all this about a year ago. There is no such thing as SARS-CoV-2. Again, it has never been proven to be isolated. I don't care the crap anybody's telling you. Ask them to show proof. They can tell you it has. They can even give you good stories about how it has. Ask them to show proof. Freedom of Information Act requests around the world, there's 11 of them going on 12 right now, have turned up absolutely no proof of SARS-CoV-2 ever being isolated in a laboratory. That's a fact. So stop and think about what I just said. What is it? I said, hey, This is probably just another form of the flu. Okay, all of a sudden, there is no flu. There's only COVID-19. All of a sudden, there is no pneumonia, which is well over a million cases a year in the United States alone. Okay, there's no pneumonia, just COVID-19. Stop and think about what I'm saying. Listen to me. This is where it all comes together. There was never a pandemic. There was fear. Fear institutionalized and spread throughout the masses on a continuous basis over and over again, every single day. Make you fearful. Make you fearful. Why? There never was a huge pandemic. What there was a fear mechanism put in place to get you to take a shot. That's the reason. There is no SARS-CoV-2 killing people across the planet. You are being forced via the mechanism of fear into taking the mRNA vaccine that will alter your DNA. How? How does it alter your DNA? What's it going to do if you have children? Does anybody know this? Are you freaking kidding me? I'm going to stake my reputation on the fact that there never, ever was a pandemic. And that mechanism of fear was utilized to do what has been planned by the elites for the last 60 years. What was that? Reduce the global population to a manageable level and bring in global governance. What Absolutely. You're looking at right now is exactly what I just said.
Well, you think about it, Roger, when this first came out, what we saw on TV was pictures, and I can remember this clearly, when it was announced to the world about this new killer pandemic, the worst thing that ever happened to the human race. We saw pictures of people being picked up in carts in China and people dying on the street, people dropping dead. Then, of course, our shiny prime minister in Canada came out a couple days later and made a bold statement that this was going to kill a minimum of 50,000 people, even if we put drastic measures to stop it right now, a minimum of 50,000 are dead. The fear virus just went absolutely crazy in society. Everybody ran to their houses and hid under their couches, and the government achieved exactly what they wanted to achieve. The power of brainwashing in society blows me away.
Well,
when people can't look at numbers, Roger, and I say that to people all the time. I'm going to let you go here in a second, but the most important thing I say to people all the time, Roger, you've got to get on the internet and look at some of the numbers for yourself, and then try to rationalize in your mind if anything they're doing makes any sense at all. And you're absolutely right about the isolation of the virus, but try to get the public to even think that way without them doing some serious research themselves, Roger. It would be like they'd look at you like you've got a third head. Go ahead.
I do have a third head, but anyway.
I know you do.
Let's stop and consider this. Okay. You made a very good point, which brought up something that I was screaming about over a year ago. And that is right after the supposed accidental release of SARS-CoV-2 from the lab in Wuhan, China, it hit the Chinese people really bad. And there were people dropping dead in the streets, and they had actual pictures of this happening. Okay. And they were everywhere. Except if you took a look about a month and a half later, what we got was a report showing that the people in the images that had literally passed out or died on the sidewalk in Wuhan were literally dead because of a huge gas leak. It had nothing to do with COVID. Everyone in those pictures had died from gas exposure. Oh, gee, wait a minute. You mean the United States and the Canadian media aren't the only ones that are crooked? Aren't the only ones that are on the dole? Aren't the only ones that are being controlled and paid to stab we the people in the back? The people they're supposed to be informing, supporting? The people we depend on our news. Why? Because our founders in this country told us that the news is the fourth branch. The news is there to keep government in check by informing the people. Today, it is just the opposite. Today, we are looking at a mechanism of the elites that is being used as a tool by their agents within our government to mislead us down the primrose path right to genocide. Not a joke. Again, I said this on your show about a month ago. You want to tell me, and you already said this a few minutes ago, Barry, that we're suffering through the worst pandemic in human global history. You're going to tell me this, right? Okay? It's bad. It's horrible. Yet you're going to go to Congress and tell all of the senators and all of the congressmen that they're excused from getting the vaccine, and so are their staff members. What? Let me ask you a question. If this was half as bad, if this was only one-tenth as bad as what they said, who would you want to vaccinate first? Wouldn't that be the leaders running your country? But if this is the worst freaking thing that's happened to humanity medically in our history, why would you tell our leaders who we depend on that they don't have to take it? Not only do they not have to take it, but anybody who works for them doesn't have to take it.
Now, that makes perfect sense to me, Roger. Everything they do about this is perfectly sensible, as you know.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm going back to the parents for a minute here. Okay? Because that story is about to explode on everybody. Yeah. Roger's in the house. Listen to me. If you come home as a father or a mother, okay, and you are trying to tell your children that they need to be vaccinated because you've already been vaccinated, your children don't have to be vaccinated. If your wife decides she doesn't want the vaccine, but she lives with you and you've been vaccinated, the next time you guys get intimate, the next time you rub bases, the next time you kiss, you've been vaccinated. The time you pick your kids up and hug them and give them a kiss on the cheek, they've been vaccinated. It is an absolute fact that this vaccine can be transmitted, especially via close contact or physical contact. If you live with your kids and your wife and you are vaccinated, they will be too.
If you're a parent,
and you intend on being vaccinated, don't bother asking your kids if they want it or not, because you're going to force it on them just by living with them.
Well, you know, that's scary beyond scary, Roger, but I have read multiple reports backing up what you just said. You know, what a perfect bioweapon. I mean, whether you want it or not, you're going to get it. I mean, this is just beyond a horror show, and yet we see it unfolding in front of our face right now. What's going on with the children, Roger? I think that might be something that's going to shoot them in the foot, because when the mother bear in the United States of America gets fully aware of what's going on to the children, no, and I mean this because I love the passion of a mother. Her defensive mechanisms and her commitment to defending her child and protecting her children. Well, what we're doing now is we're punching mama in the face. And when these kids really start the reports, I mean, it's going to be quashed on mainstream. There'll be a major push to suppress any information about damage being done to children. But it's going to get out, Roger. And then people are really going to start talking.
Where can they go?
TLB Talks. There's a platform there you can talk about anything you want. Go read. I recommend you read Roger's articles, because I look at his articles all the time. And the man puts out really good information, information you're not going to see in a lot of other places. There's all kinds of other platforms we can go to, Roger, that will give people information. Ethics Over Fear. My friend Wayne Peters there in Canada here, Roger, he's just doing incredible stuff. There's lots of good outlets out there to get information, but people
TLB Talk is not just for getting information, although your explanation was phenomenal. For that, go to the Liberty Beacon, or go to Europe Reloaded, or go to UK Reloaded, or go to the Falling Darkness. What TLB Talk is it is a social media platform that literally allows you to engage in conversation, that allows you to put on, if you wish, a symposium, that allows you to sit and listen and question the person giving you the information you're getting. It is a social media platform that doesn't say, you can't talk about vaccine. You can't talk about Joe Bob. You can't talk about, you know, what happened in Afghanistan. You can't talk about, okay, that doesn't happen on TLB Talk. Why? Because we're firm believers in our ability to say what we have the right to say. We have First Amendment rights. And right now, people need to understand how guilty the big media is, the big tech media is, such as Facebook, such as Twitter. These people basically get the same privilege. I believe it's called Section 230. They get the same privilege that a phone company gets, which means no matter what's posted on their sites, they can't be sued for it because they are basically a utility. Well, you know what? They've been screwing that up big time by telling us what we can and cannot put there and by censoring us. So big tech right now doesn't allow you to say a lot, but what most people don't understand is via the mechanism of that Section 230, they're not allowed to do that. They should lose that. And once they lose that, it means anybody who puts an image on Facebook, say, that is copyrighted, Facebook can be sued. That's what Section 230 does. It protects them from us. At the same time, they are operating outside of the bounds of free information. So anyway, as far as big tech goes, big tech right now is one of the biggest traitors humanity's ever seen. Media today, unless you're talking about alternative media, unless you're talking about what Steve does, what Barry does, what the Liberty Beacon Project does, unless you're talking about that specifically, media today is the exact opposite of what our founders promised us it would be. Okay, let's get back to this because I want to finish this article up before the show is over. These scientists, and you've all heard me say, and Barry, I've said this on your show several times, you've all heard me say that Bayer's admits that in some cases their information is only 10% accurate. And there's even research by outside sources that say it could be as bad as only 1% accurate. If they tell you there's 20,000 people dead from SARS-CoV-2 in this country, okay, I mean the vaccine, it's could easily be 200,000. It could also be 2 million. But here's the scientists who went to all 35 different countries, took all of their information and figured it all together. What they come up with is a number, and here's the number. The estimates are that Vayer's reporting is off by a factor of, wait for it, 41. Which means that anywhere from 150,000 to 300,000 Americans have already died, and that itself may be a lowball number. Did you hear what I just said? It's not 18,000. It's not 20,000. It's between 150,000 on the low end and 300,000 on the high end, and even they're saying it may be quite a bit higher than that. But that's the best their statistics could come up with. Let me explain something to you. If that's 300,000 or, and I would estimate it's closer to 500,000, in America alone, with 5% of the global population, 5%, maybe 6%, but no more than that, is a little over 5% of the 8 billion people on this planet live in this country. And we're talking what could easily well exceed 300,000 deaths. Stop and think about 5%. Let's take that number and multiply it times 10. No, it's only 5%. We are looking at millions upon millions of deaths across the planet from something they're telling you, you better take it if you want any semblance of a normal life. What they're not telling you is how long your life's going to be after you have taken it.
It'll be normal, though.
What a bet.
Oh, man. I know, Roger, with the coercion going on in our society right now, this vaccine passports that are being rolled out, I'll tell you, folks, if this is allowed to go on, that this will be the end of freedom as we know it. Because it's not going to stop at you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to a sporting event. Next month they'll come forward and say, hey, ladies and guys, grocery stores are super spreader areas. You can no longer go to the grocery store unless you're double vaxxed. Well, wait a second. You can't go into the bank. You can't go into a government agent's office. You'll completely be shut down in society. And we already see that happening in places like Austria, where they are basically right now in full-blown martial law lockdown.
Australia.
Australia. I saw the demonstrations yesterday in Australia, yep. Roger. I know you're following those. In New Zealand, the same thing. Some of the biggest demonstrations we've ever seen. What's going to happen there, Roger? Is it going to blow up because the Australian people are getting to the breaking point? What's going to happen? Where do you think it's going? I wanted to ask you this question today. Go ahead.
And that's fine because that's exactly where I was heading with this. Okay.
I'd be there.
No, because you don't know what I'm going to say. Okay. Let's take a look at how many people have died across the planet. Let's take a look. How many are there? We're talking about millions of them. Okay. We're talking about a crackdown on humanity beyond belief. We're talking about a pandemic today of the vaccinated, not the unvaccinated. The article that Barry's talking about, one of the claims by the experts that put all of this data together is that if not already, then very, very soon, the amount of deaths from the vaccine are going to surpass the amount of deaths from what they called COVID and not look back. Right now, the maximum amount of deaths we're being warned is and will very soon, we're talking days, not months or years, will very soon far exceed the amount of people dying from COVID, which is the yearly flu or pneumonia or whatever they want to call COVID. So what we're looking at now are scientists across the planet saying the vaccine at this point is more deadly than the supposed virus. Let's go a little bit further. COVID shots are far deadlier than the infection. Yeah, that doesn't fit in most people's heads. It really doesn't, okay? On October 21st, 2021, an Italian investigation found that by changing the COVID mortality definition to only include cases where COVID-19 was the primary cause of death. No comorbidities, just the primary cause of death. Deceased, the death tolls dropped by 97%. They've got you all freaking out. People are dying everywhere. But all they did was change the equation to what it should have been from day one. And if you had 100,000 deaths, guess what? Only 3,000 of them came from COVID. 3,000 out of 100,000. That's their research. And they do have the numbers to back it up. 97% of what was accredited to COVID deaths isn't. Okay, let's go to the next step. The COVID shot is the deadliest vaccine ever created. Oh, okay, where do you think I got my information from when I told you people about this? In a youth trial, one child out of 1,131 was paralyzed. Meanwhile, Pfizer's adult trial shows that the shot saves one COVID death for every 20,000 fully vaccinated people. One death saved for 20 to 22,000 fully vaccinated people. How much are they going to suffer? Let me go on. It's estimated we need to fully vaccinate 630,000 kids to save one child's life. Did you hear what I just said? You've got to vaccinate 630,000 kids, the statistics show, in order to save one child's life. That means we may permanently disable almost 600 kids to save one child's life. Are you kidding me? This is not guesses. None of this is based on guesses. All of this is based on hard facts, hard math, and statistics from 35 countries. This is the biggest scam ever played on humanity. They're killing us and they're putting us in a yoke. And if we don't do what we're told, we won't live very long. If you think I'm exaggerating or kidding, you're one of the idiots that's going to die.
I've seen these same reports all over the world right now, Roger, coming in telling me that, of course, there's a new variant coming out just about every month now. There will be. And of course, the new variants we're finding out are caused by people that have been double vaccinated.
The variants are vaccine damaged. That's what the variants are.
That's exactly what they, that's where I was going with this, Roger.
Sorry.
When that really, of course, we hear the opposite in Canada. We hear that the unvaccinated are the ones that are causing the rise in blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what we're hearing from our health, so-called health officials in Canada, which to me, Roger, it's absolute criminal what's going on with
these
health officials.
Same here in America.
Yep. Same thing in America. Dr. Fauci, we all love him. These people are dumb. These people are so dirty.
I thought you couldn't swear
but,
on this network.
Well, I'm trying not to, Roger. I am. I really am. But you know what? I honestly believe that we're seeing a rise in awakeness in Canada, and I think we're seeing the same thing in the United States. And I say that because all of a sudden the narrative now has changed back to guess what? Climate. And they're pushing that harder than – all of a sudden, that's all you hear on TV is climate emergency. Oh my God! Can't people all get right. this figure it out, guys?
let me explain exactly what's going on, and I think I might even have taken you through this two shows ago. But let me go over this one more time. Everybody right now is looking at door number one, and you're going, "Oh my God!" And what is door number one? Door number one could be they're going to vaccinate kids now. Door number one could be the crisis on the southern U.S. border. Door number one could be, all right, as soon as you've watched door number one long enough and you've been through all the shock and the terror, and now you start to realize, wait a minute, this doesn't – like a lot of the stories I'm telling you, they don't make any sense when you stop to think of it. So you start. You're watching door number one and you start to think, this can't be right. That doesn't sound right. You start to do a little research. Bam! Door number one closes. Door number two opens. There is another massive bad situation there. And you freak out. You panic. And you go through the same scenario for I don't know how long until you get to the point where you start to figure this one out and say, well, wait a minute. This ain't exactly right. Then door number three opens. Once door number three opens, they grab your attention and there's another disaster happening. This is what this all boils down to, people. Door number one, door number two, and door number three are all in the same damn theater, and it's owned by the same people. Stop and think about that. All of this is being done by the same people. It's all being done one disaster after another. There have never been this many disasters, one right after another, on this planet in millions of years, but there sure the hell is right now. Because as soon as you start to wake up, they've got to open another door. They've got to keep you terrorized. They've got to keep you guessing. Let me explain what you got to do. Get your butt off that stupid chair, walk outside the theater, and take a look. It's all in the same damn building, people. Wake the hell up.
How can I add to that, Roger? I'm sitting here chuckling. I'm not trying to chuckle at what you're saying, but I'm chuckling at the insanity of it all. And when you hear me chuckling in the background, it's that. That's the reason why.
It's either that or Roger going up the deep end.
Well, no, I mean, it's absolute insanity. And that, of course, brings a humorous reaction inside of me. But I'm not trying to make fun of a very, very dire situation we find ourselves in.
Oh, I know that.
So now, but anyways, you're absolutely correct, Roger. I mean, for somebody not right now, the way I see it right now, if for somebody not to be aware of what's going on around them in this world, they have to either one, have absolutely no intestinal fortitude, are a sheeple, are completely controlled, and will do whatever they tell them to do right to the very end, or they're completely cognitive, their level of cognitive dissidence in society. People know that there's something very nefarious going on, but they don't want to look at it. They don't want to address it because it terrifies them. I see that a lot in society now. What I'm saying to people right now, there is no more important thing to look at than what we're talking about today, because this is only going to get better if we don't put a stop to this right now, folks. Roger and me are going to be having some really crazy conversations in about 6 months from now. Wouldn't you say, Roger?
I would not only say, but I need to jump backwards just a little bit to make everybody aware of something else, okay? The COVID shots get deadlier the younger you are. Listen to me. Why have they pushed so hard first to get the teenagers, then to get the adolescents? Why have they pushed so hard to affect our children, okay? If you stop to consider, okay, 80 years old, you're probably going to have a tough time. If you're 20 years old or below, you're not going to have a tough time. You're absolutely not. But if you stop to consider that the increasing numbers of, and again, first off, people, this is the name of the article. It's on the Liberty Beacon. I don't like doing this on Barry's show, but I need everybody to read this article. The article's title is COVID Shots, the Deadliest Vaccines in Medical History. And it is a Mercola article. Is it worth reading? Oh, yeah. And what I'm trying to tell you is the more children we see getting vaccinated, the more we see coming down with heart conditions. And when people try to tell you kids can have heart attacks too, I want you to go online and look up the statistics for 5 to 10-year-olds having heart attacks. And then what I'd like you to do is take a look at the statistics of these children having heart problems all the way up to and including death because of the COVID shot. What you're going to find out is that they don't equal the same. They're not even close. We are literally killing our children. What do the experts say? The shots get more deadly to the younger. How's about the next time you go to take your kids in to get a vaccination? You think about that.
Well, what are we doing, Roger? We're sticking a poison inside a body that's developing. I mean, is that not a recipe for insanity? Come on. Their immune systems aren't developed.
Right. If you want to kill somebody, all right, again, and this is the second thing most people are not really paying attention to. It's not so much killing us off, which they wish to do, but it's also sterilizing us. Why are they wanting to give teenagers especially? Yeah, they're going after the younger kids, but why do they especially want to get these teenagers, say, from 12 to 17 or 12 to 20 vaccinated? Because there are already, again, scientists out there saying this is going to absolutely trash fertility. They are telling women who get this shot and men who get this shot at the doctor's office to not have any consensual sex for at least 30 days in order to be on the safe side. Let me explain something to you. The reason why they're telling you that is because most experts will agree these shots do not come to their full effectiveness until about 2 weeks. Some say a little bit longer. So to be on the safe side, they tell you not to have sex for 30 days. It's not to keep you safe. It's to make sure the damn vaccine is working fully, 100%, before you make love to your wife or she makes love to you. It doesn't matter which way. It's going to have the same damn result. They're flat out setting it up for success. Do not have sex for 30 days. Has nothing to do with you spreading, I don't know, or you messing up the vaccine or whatever excuse they give you. It has everything to do with they want to make sure before you get intimate with anybody that that vaccine is 100% activated in your body. The tyranny going on around us is so bad, it's insane. And how many of you out there are laughing at the old man screaming here? The world is literally burning around you. And that's not an exaggeration. That's an absolute fact. We are watching mass murder and genocide, and most of you are chuckling.
Well, you're not alone, Roger. There's thousands and tens of thousands of doctors around the world echoing exactly what you're saying right now.
I know.
Doctors of great, 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 like they have degrees up the wall and down the wall, known all over the world for their expertise, and they're all screaming at the top of their lungs. So
some
you
of them
are
wrote,
not alone.
Some of them wrote that article we're talking about.
Well, I know, Roger. You know, I've looked at the Great Barrington Declaration. I look at the groups of doctors that are speaking out and being silenced. Their lives being put at risk right now for exposing this information to the public. I mean, we're in communism 2.0, especially here in Canada. We're exactly where Germany was in 1937, Roger, right to the T. Because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, our government took over our media. And now what? You're going to have to show your passport soon to walk the streets in Canada. Mark my words, that's coming. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that COVID had two in my eyes, from what I've seen in the research I've done, there were two main issues behind COVID. One was to get the entire planet, okay, into a unified mood, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, it doesn't matter. It is to get everybody on the planet in a unified mood. It is to give as many people a vaccine that has a lower mortality rate than anything outside of the normal flu. It literally doesn't even beat some of the yearly flus we've had for mortality. It doesn't. But yet you are forced vaccinating an entire planet with something I just told you has a higher death rate at this point than what it's trying to cure, which it cannot cure. So let's go back to what Barry said, because Barry made another good point. Yes, Barry, a very good point. If you have to have a passport, a vaccine passport, to get into a dance, to get into the grocery store, to get into the barbershop, what you have just proven to the entire world is that you carry 250 times the viral load of somebody who was not vaccinated. Whoa! What did Roger just say? Listen to me, people. Listen and do some research. If you are vaccinated, you carry up to 250 times the viral load of an unvaccinated individual. So let's put this together, okay? I'm going to go to a dance tonight. There's 1,000 people at this dance tonight. Each and every one of them, in order to get in, has to have a vaccine passport. When they have that vaccine passport, they go, here you go. Okay, you can go in. And they go in. What you have ended up with is 1,000 people who have been fully vaccinated. 1,000 people, stop and think about this, okay, who carry 200, up to 250 times the viral load of an unvaccinated. You've never heard this anywhere else unless you found it online. And what do you have? You have 1,000 people who are each super spreaders, and you're going to cause mayhem. Why? COVID-19 vaccines do not keep you from getting COVID, supposedly. They do not keep you from passing COVID on, from transmitting it, supposedly. The only thing they do is keep you from being so miserable when you have COVID. All right, Barry, let's go back to what you stated, all right? The vaccine passports are going to be needed everywhere. So basically what you're telling me is that unless you have 250 times the danger in your body that I do, because I'm not vaccinated, I can't go anywhere. Why? Because I'm not dangerous. The only people that are allowed to go anywhere are the most dangerous among us.
Well, let's factor into that situation, Roger, the effects that this is having on your...
Vaccine passes are a lie.
They're
there to make us get even sicker. They're there to make us make more people sick.
Well, Roger, I was reading and listening to a doctor this week talk about the effects on the immune system from these shots and what it's actually doing to our immune systems and the lack of immune abilities we are going to have in our body by exposing ourselves to two or three of these shots. The numbers are absolutely mind-blowing. They are. Okay, so what is that going to do, Roger? Well, you think people are going to get a little sicker, a little faster, a little bit more consistently? I mean, of course, that'll be another variant, won't it? I mean, this is a great movie, Roger. It really is. Go ahead.
The spike proteins gather in the body. See, originally the lie was we used the spike proteins because it was only supposed to stay in the vicinity where the shot was given, and the blood coming through there would be changed and blah, blah. We would set up the immunity, the whole nine yards.
And then,
and then they found out that it went to every single organ in the entire body. Anybody out there who believes that all of these scientists found out for the first time when they finally gave a shot to somebody who came to get it that it wasn't going to stay there, you're an idiot too. Okay, they knew this. They knew it extremely well that whatever happened was going to go throughout the entire body. This is a time bomb waiting to happen because these will start to attack your stomach. They'll start to attack your heart. They'll start to attack your liver. What we are going to see is mortality rates for humanity, whether you've been vaccinated or you live with somebody who's been vaccinated. We're going to see mortality for a lot of comorbidities skyrocket. We're going to literally see more death over the next 5 years than we've seen in the last 50 years combined.
Wow. It's only, how long has this been going on now? How long have we been administering these vaccines now, Roger?
Less than eight.
Yeah. And this is what we're seeing in this short period of time. Really what's coming down the road. This is cracking, unbelievable what's going to come down the tubes. It is.
6 billion shots have been given already. That doesn't mean 6 billion. Over 6 billion. That doesn't mean 6 billion people have had them. Because they haven't. What it means is that in places where you require 1, 2, 3, or, you know, a follow-up, whatever, in a lot of places, depending on which vaccine they're using, you may require 3 shots, all right? But what that does tell us is that, in my eyes, at least 2 billion people out of close to 8 have already been vaccinated. And what we are seeing is the numbers skyrocketing across the planet. Right now, when a scientist looks at you and says, this is the biggest fraud in history. Again, I'm taking this straight from the article written by those researchers. And it says, this is the subtitle, biggest fraud in history. All things considered, the COVID vaccination campaign is the biggest medical fraud in modern history. It's a house of cards held together by belief in data that aren't there, an avoidance of confronting the safety signals of the Bayer's system and other studies that don't comport the narrative. In other words, these scientists are saying they're stuffing one lie after another right into your face.
Computer modeling, Roger.
right before the turn of the century, there was another vaccine. I don't remember the name of it, but you can do the research and you can find out which one it is. Had 53 deaths. 53 cowpox. Deaths. But no, it wasn't cowpox. 53 okay. deaths, and they immediately pulled it off the market. Now, you stop and consider, in the 70s, the H1N1 had 35 deaths, and they immediately pulled it off the market. Can I explain something to you? Globally, the deaths from COVID-19 vaccines are in the millions. Has anybody talked about pulling them off the market? Anybody? No. What they told you is you want to go to school, you want to go to college, you want to go to Wally World, you want to go and get your car worked on, you want to do anything, you better get a vaccine. Now, what does that mean to you and me? I'm going to explain exactly what it means to you and me as, I don't know, graphically as I possibly can. You walk in to your doctor's office with your 5-year-old child, okay? You sit down, you put your child up on your lap. Your doctor walks up to you and says, hello, Mrs. Umpty Scratch, how are you doing today? And she says, I'm doing fine. He said, and what are you here for? And she says, well, we're here to get the vaccine. This is what the doctor does. He goes over to his desk. He opens the drawer. He pulls out a 6-shot revolver. He spins the damn thing. He walks up. He hands it to her, and he says, one click for you, one click for your child. That's what is happening. That's not a guess. That's not an exaggeration. That's not a joke, and that's not a fear factor. That's an absolute fact, and they're getting away with it. They're your children. How the hell could you let this happen? But you are. Okay, I got to take a breath.
Well, Roger, I don't think they're going to get away with it for long. I really don't think they're going to get away for it long. Because I said, when we start hearing about this in society of children, and we're not really hearing it yet, but they're just really now starting to roll out the programs in Canada and the United States of America. When we start hearing about multiple injuries to young children, that that there will be a rise in parents in this country and in North America.
It's already happening. Stop
to this. Well, I know it is. There's lots of groups that are rising against it, Roger, but I'm talking about a majority of the population standing up in droves and putting a stop to this craziness, because that's all it's going to take, my friend.
Can I tell you when I think that's going to happen?
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you. When that happens, it's going to be, and it's not going to be within the next couple of months. It may be within the next year, but not within the next couple of months. People actually have to see within their neighborhoods, within their family, within the school, the business they work at, they have to see people dropping dead. They have to see people leaving work sick and never coming back. They have to see this, because the fear works both ways. Okay, you took that damn vaccine because you were afraid. Now you better not take that vaccine because you're afraid.
Yep, I agree with you, Roger.
The difference is the fear that they gave you for the vaccine isn't true, but the fear you're seeing because of the vaccine is true.
Yeah, my concerns, of course, would be how many children they're going to get this into before that actually happens in our society.
As many as they possibly can.
I know, and they're rolling these programs out like crazy right now, Roger. So we really have to spend all our time now educating our friends and neighbors and our family about the dangers. And if they don't want to listen to us, so be it. But at least we try. We try every day. We're down to the last minute here, Roger. It went by real quick. It always does when I'm talking with you. So the last minute here, can you share with people where they can find you and your sites and your last thoughts for the day? And I'll be talking again in a couple weeks from now.
Okay, my last thought for the day. I don't have a last thought for the day, but I am the founder of and the managing director of the Liberty Beacon Project. And the main website, the flagship website, is thelibertybeacon.com. Please go there. As Barry said, there's a lot of information, and you can find it on all of our websites. That's the flagship. If you want to talk to people who know what they're talking about, if you want to talk to people about what you know and spread your information, don't even try to do it on Facebook. Don't even try to do it on Twitter, and don't even try to do it on YouTube. Go to TLB Talk and talk to everybody you wish to. That's why I had that site built. That's why all the phenomenal people who worked with me to get that site up and running are on my list for sainthood. This is what you need. Go to TLB Talk and find out what they're not letting you find out anywhere else. And thank you,
Roger. Thanks, Roger. And I'm over at TLB Talks now, guys. So go get in there and send me a friend request, and let's help this work for Roger, because it is a great platform. Thanks for coming in again, Roger. It's always a pleasure, and I look forward to our next conversation.
I do, too. And one final thought here. I didn't put the entire thing together. There was a phenomenal group of people that helped me to do it. They get as much credit as I do, always.
Yeah, but you're the tip of the spear, buddy. So you deserve the credit.
I just holler louder than the rest of them.
Yeah, you do. And we love it. So we all look forward to it again, Roger. Bye for now.
Thanks, Barry. Bye.
We're back in a couple minutes, guys, with Dr. Roger Hodgkinson.
When you're up on the mountain, you've got peace of mind like you've never known.
Back second hour, folks, and thanks again to Roger Landry for coming in. I've really enjoyed my conversations with him. Second hour here, I have Dr. Roger Hodgkins joining me. I haven't had the doctor on for quite a while. I don't exactly know how long it's been, Doc, but it's been a little while since we chatted. But I remember the last conversation I had with you was very informative. Welcome back to the show. And before we get into to what we're going to talk about here, can you give people a quick update on your bio and your background and your expertise? Thanks for coming back.
Yes, well, thanks for having me on before they put me in jail. I appreciate it.
You too? We're all going to jail soon.
Okay.
I hope they put us in the same jail. How's that?
Well, that's what's happening in Austria right now. Well, listen, about me, I won't bore your listeners with a long diatribe. I'm 77. I've done everything in medicine you could think of, leadership roles, hands-on, teaching, Royal College work in Ottawa, chairman of that examination committee, president of our provincial association of pathologists, assistant professor at the University of Alberta, and I'm currently the chairman of an American biotechnology company heavily involved in DNA sequencing. I've done a lot of stuff in my career, and that's just... those are just the highlights.
Yeah, you actually lived in Terrace, British Columbia one time, didn't you?
Fortunately, I had a very explosive argument with the CEO of the hospital, and I left one afternoon, told him he could stick his job up his backside, and that afternoon I had another job in Vancouver. It was the best thing that ever happened to me because of Plan B often being better than Plan A in life.
Sometimes things are meant to be, but you got to see the beauty of the northern parts of British Columbia anyways. And that's a memory you can take with you for the rest of your life. Because we do live in a beautiful part of the world.
We had a place on the coast, an island actually, for quite a few years. And you don't have to tell me about the beauty of the coast. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh. It is. It's one of the best things. It's one of the best things in life. But anyways, Doc, let's get right into this. So, you know, before we went on the air here, one of the biggest conversations being had in Canada right now, one of the biggest angers I see coming out of society is them rolling out these jabs. I'm not going to call them a vaccine. I'm going to call them a jab on our children, 5 years old. To me, this is just absolutely beyond insanity. And I'm going to say that because I've looked at the numbers of children that are actually going to die or are dying from this so-called pandemic, and the numbers are virtually zero. And yet now we're going to be sticking these things in our children. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, my summary statement is this. Has it really come to this? Child sacrifice to appease the new gods. The ones that think they're gods, the twerps that are running the show. Has it really come to this, sacrificing our children to appease them? It's the most monstrous thing we could ever have thought of, is to sacrifice our children to appease these idiotic politicians and bureaucrats. It didn't work for the Aztecs, throwing children on the pyre. It didn't make the rain fall for the Aztecs, and it won't change a damn thing here, except in one specific way. And I hate to say this, because as abhorrent as it is for the clot shot to be used on children for reasons that I'll explain in a minute, as abhorrent as that is, and with the predictable death that will happen, I have to say this, that in order to get the attention of the majority of the people who have presently got their head in the sand, children are going to have to die in order to get the attention of the mass of the public to change the direction that things are going. And that is one of the most tragic things in human and medical history, to recognize that those deaths are unavoidable. But it's like going into battle. Any general knows he's going to lose some of his troops, dear friends, guys he knows personally. But it's going to happen. And hopefully that will get the attention of the world when children are being sacrificed for absolutely no reason. As you said in your introduction, children, first of all, have borne the brunt of this madness right from the get-go, much more so than adults, much more so than people going bankrupt, much more so than any adult, for a whole variety of reasons. They've been denied an education. They've been denied non-verbal communication. They've been denied hugging. They've been made suspicious of everyone. They've been denied entry to higher education institutions that they fought hard to get into. They've been subjected to all of that, and particularly poor families who now are fighting with inflation that's been introduced because of that idiot running the show in the States. Children are going to be going without food. Child abuse is going to increase. Child suicide has already increased. Children have already borne the brunt to date. But, oh, no, that's not enough. That's not enough. Now we have to actually kill them. That's what's going on. I'm not saying that that's intentional. I'm saying that that's a consequence of this mad dance down the drain that our politicians are leading us into. Children have no risk from COVID unless they have some serious underlying disease. None. There hasn't been a single death in all of North America from a child that wasn't seriously ill from something else. So that's the first point. They have no risk from COVID. Secondly, they have tremendous risks from the vaccination itself, not just myocarditis. 500 plus cases occurring in Ontario to date and climbing every week. Not just myocarditis, but the risks of uninvestigated risks of infertility, of the possibility of having their immune system damaged for life in terms of how they respond to many other types of infections. Those are the risks that are still not being quantified. And yet we're going to be putting children through all of that for no reason whatsoever, to kill them, to maim them. It's the most outrageous atrocity in medical history. It's totally against the Nuremberg Code. And as a result of the Nuremberg trials, seven physicians swung for that. It would be no excuse for politicians to say, I didn't know. There'd be numerous attempts to educate them. They're choosing to ignore the evidence. And I hope one day they come to trial. They probably won't swing, given wokeism that's infiltrating everywhere. But I hope dearly that they go to jail for the rest of their lives, led by Fauci, the most vile man walking, who is the instigator and orchestra leader of all the things that are happening. I don't believe that this was a conspiracy theory. No, it was an experiment that went wildly wrong. It escaped. But did the great resetters and all the wokest resetters in Germany and Switzerland, did they, the Soroses of the world, Bill Gateses of the world, were they well set up to exploit this incredible opportunity that landed in their laps? Absolutely. And they did it with Machiavellian brilliance. But there's no big conspiracy here to kill off the human race. Look no further than Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is usually the one that's the cause. Political stupidity. Look no further than that.
Well, whether it was intentional or not, you know, to me, the information is out there now, Doctor, about the adverse effects of these jabs. To me, them administrating to children of that age, I have to question whether it's intentional or not. They have to know that this is going to do damage to the children. They have to know that. To me, this is evil, is what it is to me. These people the information's out there already, and we have literally thousands of doctors around the world right now screaming at the top of their lungs that this is absolute insanity because of what we've seen in the adult population since they've rolled this out, and now we want to put this in the bodies of our children. This, to me, is absolute beyond the levels of anything I thought I'd see in my lifetime, Doctor, ever. It's absolute insanity. No other way to explain it.
One thing that everyone has to understand very, very clearly is this. It may sound awfully obscure and bureaucratic and regulatory in nature, but it's the central issue that everyone is overlooking. This whole mad episode in human history had its origin with one singular decision: to call this a public health emergency. It never was in a month of Sundays. We have here in Alberta the guy that wrote the actual manual for emergency preparedness for this province, Lieutenant Colonel David Redmond, is on record as saying, the man who wrote the manual, this is not and never was anything close to a public health emergency. Now, the reason it's so important to understand that is this. Once you take away the predicate for all the actions being based on an emergency, it's a house of cards. There is absolutely no reason to institute experimental vaccines and administer them to billions of people. The underlying rationale is, therefore, it's false. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to realize that this is not and never was, even now, a public health emergency. John Ioannidis, the most esteemed epidemiologist in Stanford, has said publicly, this is nothing more than a bad seasonal flu, period. The reason we're in this mess is because politicians are messing with nature. There's one fundamental tenet in vaccinology, and it's this. You never, ever, ever, underlined in neon, institute a vaccination program right in the middle of a pandemic. You never, ever do that. That's what they did. Yep. And the reason you never do that is very simple. It's because it produces pressure on the pathogen, the virus, that's always mutating, to create new variants all the time. You cannot ever get to zero COVID. It's medically impossible. Politicians beat their chest and think they can do it. It's utter insanity. The concept is ludicrous. It can never be achieved. In fact, what you do achieve is exactly the opposite. You achieve the emergence of more transmissible viruses. That's exactly what's happening now. In Britain, that has the best statistics on Earth, it's now being determined by Alex Berenson's analysis of the British data that's publicly available, that twice as many people are now dying because of under 60. Twice as many people under 60 are now dying directly due to the vaccine than the unvaxxed are dying of COVID. It's a monstrous, monstrous mistake. With politicians playing medicine, as I said publicly, that's the most dangerous game you can imagine. Medicine has been taken out of the hands of physicians and placed in the ridiculous, idiotic heads of politicians who haven't a friggin' clue what they're doing.
And henceforth, you have medical tyranny.
They're not just killing children. They're making this pandemic worse by the week, by insisting on these booster jabs, jab, 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 every 3 months for the rest of our lives. Are you kidding me? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if you've been trying to stop something happening for 2 years and doing all these ridiculous things which were predictably not going to work, masks, social distancing, travel bans, lockdowns, etc. If you've been trying that for 2 years pretty well, and it's not worked, just maybe it will never work. It's not just that the evidence is there for it failing. It's actually making it worse.
Well, it never was designed to work, Doc. It's just complete control of society. This whole scamdemic is about control. They push society in all kinds of different directions to see how society would respond. And now they've got the response they wanted to see. Now they're going to even wrap this up. This, you know, this is never going to go away. People got to realize that what we're dealing with right now, unless we all stand up and put a stop to this, this is never, ever going to go away. Because what you mentioned there a few minutes ago about variants. I mean, we know that every couple months now they're going to bring out a new variant. They're going to announce it to the public, and they're going to have to get a new booster to make your passport work. Like the paper system in Germany was instituted by 1937. I believe it was 1937, the beginning of 1938. You couldn't walk the streets of Germany without producing papers. Well, we were getting really close to that.
Show me your papers.
Yeah, show me your papers, old man. And people, you say that to people, they go, ha, ha, ha. Well, listen, folks, how close are we now with the people accepting these vaccine passports in society? Because they are. In British Columbia, people are just going along to get along, Doc, and they're all getting their passports. And now we're in a segregated socialist society right now as we speak. And, you know, that is only going to increase as time goes on. Like I said, the only way we're going to stop this is if we all stand up right now. I hope that's what we can do. Go ahead, Doc.
And people are not going to stand up until it gets worse. There's been ample opportunity to stand up, and it's not moved the needle. It's not stopped a damn thing. It has to get worse. And as Napoleon once said, never stop your opponent from screwing up. Okay? That's sadly what's going on. That's sadly what's going on. I disagree with you profoundly. I do not believe that this is a monster plan for genocide, to control the public. What I do believe is that this unexpected opportunity landed in their laps, and it's been milked magnificently in order to simply maintain the madness of thinking that they can control it. We have idiotic politicians thinking that they can wrestle this to the ground. They have backed themselves into a corner that they can't get out of. The first rule in politics is never apologize. That's why it's so critically important for democracy. For Trump, I'm a Trumper, except he was dead wrong on everything to do with COVID. Someone has to get to Trump to tell him before Alex Berenson and the like write the definitive autopsy of how bloody stupid this whole thing was, before the general public starts becoming aware of the scale of that, Trump has to get ahead of it. He's got to put his standard in the ground and say, I was wrong. He's got to make heads roll when he gets in 24. If he doesn't put his standard in the ground and get ahead of the game now, I think he will lose in 24, because a year and a half from now, everyone's going to know that the vaccine was the biggest mistake ever in medical history, and he's going to be seen as the principal advocate for it, the whole warp speed thing that he was so proud of. Mm-hmm. He is a businessman who knows absolutely nothing about medicine, and he was lied to repeatedly at the table by Fauci and Birx. We know that from a whistleblower who was there at the time, right there at those meetings. I won't give his name publicly, but there's a whistleblower that knows exactly chapter and verse about how Trump was lied to by Fauci, the most vile man walking. Trump's got to get ahead of that game, because if Trump does not win in 24, democracy is dead.
My thought on that, Doc, I don't know if we'll get to 2024. The way I see things going right now in the United States of America, I have absolutely unbelievable insanity inside White House, and what they're doing right now is absolutely destroying the United States of America. I don't know if the American country can stand up to the amount of illegal immigrants that are going to be allowed to cross into the United States of America under Biden. We know what the numbers are right now. Whether the country can continue to maintain that number, I have my doubts. I really don't think the United States of America is going to make it to 2024, but that's just my thoughts. Well, because it's absolute insanity what's going on right now.
In 22, the brakes can be put on, because
yes,
the Democrats, it's going to be a slaughter of Democrats in 22, but Trump will not be directing the show until 24.
They're sure doing a lot of damage right now. I don't even know how that guy can stay in the office as long as he has the levels of mentality of this man that's supposed to be the leader of the free world. It's a joke. It's just absolutely a joke. Do you think he's going to be there much longer? Do you think the agenda is to get Carmella in there?
Who knows? I mean, he's obviously got Alzheimer's or some senile dementia. I mean, as a physician, it's as obvious as the nose on your face, for all kinds of reasons, subtle and obvious. Who knows if he's going to hang on? Who knows if Harris is going to have to take over? Who knows who the nominee is going to be in 24? Who knows? But it's going to get worse everywhere before it gets better. And getting worse, sadly, is going to get the attention, child sacrifice, the economy, maybe the Chinese doing an artillery barrage on Quemoy. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And the advantage of it getting worse is that finally, people might wake up as to what's happening in the world, the way wokeism has infiltrated every institution. It's going to get worse, and perhaps that'll be the catharsis that's needed to have a radical change in politics in the United States. And if they can lead the way into the death of wokeism, then the rest of the world might follow.
Well, the United States is the last cowboy in the world, isn't it? And if the United States goes down, there's going to be nothing to stop agendas that are being played out on the people around the planet. What do you think about what's going on in Australia right now and Austria, Doc?
Well, Austria, of course, is full of closet Nazis, isn't it? It's no surprise what's happening in Austria. but a big surprise about Australia, which you'd expect to have the balls to stand up earlier than they are doing now. Mm. That's a tragedy in motion, but it's a bit player in the grand scheme of things. What it really comes down... Look, Europe is gone, finished, wrapped up, done. Canada is done. The last hope of democracy is the States. And the only savior of democracy that's on the horizon in the States is Donald Trump. Does he have his peccadilloes? Absolutely. Show me a perfect politician. They all have their defects. You hold the evidence at arm's length, you half close your eyes, and you decide, is it enough to lead? Yes, by God, it is enough to lead. He led. He delivered on his promises. He was one of the first presidents in American history that actually did that. He has to get in again in 24. And by making it worse, Biden is making it easier for him to win. So long as two things. Number one, he gets ahead of the vaccine mess and admits it was a huge mistake caused by Fauci. Number two, everyone's got to cross their fingers that the Chinese don't really move on Taiwan or Quemoy while they've got a weak president. Because if we get entrapped into another major confrontation, all bets are off in terms of whether Trump gets in or not. The American public are not ready for war, having had enough of it in Afghanistan and Vietnam. They don't know what freedom is all about. Freedom is not free. They will not be in favor of a major war with China. Let's hope that that doesn't happen before 24, because it could change the landscape dramatically for Trump.
Oh, could be a bad day for the planet Earth, don't you think? I mean, they both have nukes, don't they? And boy, I'll tell you, one nuclear bomb could ruin our day.
Let's talk about the other threats, much bigger than the confrontation with China. Look, we are at undeclared war with China. 1938 is staring us in the face. One thing that Trump was trying to do before he lost the election was to repatriate as much manufacturing as possible from China. The initial realization was that they were making virtually all our pharmaceuticals. Not a good idea. But then he extended that to try to repatriate as much as possible. You don't feed your enemy. You used to put siege towers around castles in the medieval ages. You starve them to death. No one should be buying anything from China in the hope of fomenting an internal revolt if their economy collapses. But that's not the really big thing, in my opinion. The really, really big thing is gain of function. Gain of function is not rocket science. As I said, I'm the chairman of a company doing DNA sequencing. I know what I'm talking about. Gain of function is not rocket science. Just about any lab can do it, hiring the right idiots to do the show. Gain of function has the potential of being the most existential threat to humanity you could possibly imagine. You think COVID's bad? COVID could be like the common cold in a walk in the park relative to what could be let loose on the world by some rogue nation having in its back pocket a genetically engineered virus that makes COVID look irrelevant. Gain of function has to be tackled immediately, prohibited internationally, policed in a much more rigorous way than even the nuclear disarmament talks and monitoring were conducted. Because that is an existential threat to all human beings.
You're not alone in making that statement. I was listening to Rand Paul talk about the exact same thing here this week, Doc. And he what you just said came out of his mouth, too. This is one of the biggest threats to the human race, and it has to come to a stop. So maybe making people aware of it, do something about it.
The biggest problem in human evolution was the miraculous mutation that allowed us to talk and communicate. We're infatuated with our own intelligence, and it's going to be our demise. Just because we can do something doesn't mean to say we should do something. That regulatory oversight has to take place because it can affect us all. It could look, you could easily imagine North Korea, Iran, you name it, saying, listen, you better think twice before you nuke us, because we've got this in our back pocket. And we're going to have a little demonstration project that's nicely self-contained. We're going to drop it on, you name it, a nice island somewhere, Hawaii. We're going to drop it on Hawaii, just to show you that we're serious. Hawaii gets wiped out. Okay, I've got your attention now. Maybe you don't want that dropped in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. Can we talk now? That's how serious this is. And I'm not exaggerating one iota here. Science has the capability of doing that. It just requires some mad mind with not that much money to do it, to actually start that. And it could make COVID look irrelevant.
Well, my hope is that we don't experience that in our lifetime, Doctor, but I know it's a very, very real possibility. I know that they have viruses in labs that could wipe out basically the human race. And when you say that to people, they kind of shake their head, but I honestly believe they have those things. Well, you know, a few years ago in Toronto, I don't know if you knew about this story, Doc, but there was a gentleman caught with 42 pounds of carfentanil in his basement, which is what they derive fentanyl from, but it's about 1,000 times as strong as fentanyl. Sure. He had enough in his basement there to kill everybody in Canada 8 times over. So take that into context and you think about that for a second. There was that being stored in a house in Toronto. And it had the ability to kill everybody in Canada, like I said, 8 times over. That's kind of a scary situation, wouldn't you say?
Well, to say the least. Absolutely. The world has been kept safe since 9/11, not by some miraculous, you know, external intervention. No, the world has been kept safe by brave guys and some women probably, infiltrating organizations that are at the early stages of doing something similar. Many of them would have come to the most horrendous end because of having been discovered. But because of that infiltration that our security forces have engineered, the world has been kept safe from another 9/11. Nothing miraculous about it, just brutal work on the ground with some gory ends to many people who were trying to infiltrate those organizations. But you cannot be 100% safe. It's impossible. It's like a lab thinking it can be 100% safe, not letting a virus escape. I've run big labs. You can make it hermetically sealed in terms of the instrumentation and the air conditioning and so on. But if you put people in there, it's by definition unsafe because you cannot always control everything everyone does everywhere. Yes. What I'm saying is this. It's going to be increasingly important, vital in fact, for the continuation of the human race, for infiltration of gain-of-function research to take place internationally so that we know what's happening, where it's happening, and how we can get rid of it by probably employing Mossad to do it for us. There has to be incredible attention to what is going on in those laboratories with an early warning system, and bomb it or poison it or kill them or whatever it takes, the Soleimani type of of attacks, drone attacks, whatever. We have to stop all that research in its tracks wherever it is happening, including China, which might bring us to the brink of war with China. We cannot allow that to take place. Much more significant than the Iranians getting a nuclear bomb, as important as that is.
China seems to be poking the world right now, doesn't it? I mean, they're going after war right now. And we just have to look
at what they're doing in the
China Sea and Taiwan, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead.
We've got a senile president of the United States at the same time as an ascendant China. Kumoi is within artillery distance of mainland China. That little island, it's a big island. Well, not that big. It's an island that's basically separated just by a small strait from mainland China. China's going to do a little demonstration project, I suspect, before Biden's term is up. It's going to invade or bombard Kumoi. What are you going to do about it, Biden? He's probably going to not just pee in his pants, he's going to shit in his pants if experience in the European his European visits is anything to go by. No, he's not going to do anything. What does that tell the Chinese? The Americans are destroying themselves because they've got no will to fight. They don't understand what freedom is all about. They just want their iPhone, their water bottle, and Netflix. Give them that and they're happy. We won't have to fire a shot to win against America because they're killing themselves. Thank you very much. Ball game over. Unless we get a brave president who's prepared to stand up to them, like Trump, if we get another Democrat in there, China's just going to wipe our clocks.
Well, like you said, the midterms are going to be pretty interesting. From what I can see, it's going to be a shellacking of Democrats, and right now that's the only mechanism that could happen to put a stop to this, because it is insanity what's going on in the state. And I don't agree with you, Doctor. I don't agree that all Americans are just going to roll over. I believe there's a lot of really good Americans right now that are doing everything they can to put a stop to this. Unfortunately, they're being drowned out by the left, and but I don't believe all Americans are godless. I believe there's some really strong-willed Americans that are just as pissed off about this as you and I are, because anybody that's watching the destruction of the United States by this president, I mean, what man leaves $85 billion worth of military equipment to his enemies? What kind of man leaves Afghanistan the way he does? I mean, everything about this man, everything about him is absolute insanity as far as freedom goes. And I think there's a lot of Americans that are actually going to do something about it, my friend. Go ahead. My thoughts.
What has destroyed Western democracies from within is the decades-long evolution and proliferation of wokeism. Wokeism started and is being amplified by the universities. In my opinion, the single most important thing to do to preserve democracy, other than Trump getting reelected, is to turn the spigots off in universities.
I'm
not sure if you're aware, but there have been many studies showing that 90% thereabouts of junior faculty in all universities now across the Western world, 90% of junior faculties are rampant socialists. So what do they do? By a nudge and a wink, they inculcate their students into similar thinking, very impressionable minds.
Right.
Those people go out and become the lawyers and the politicians, but most importantly, the teachers. They go to the schools, influenced by that type of thinking. They then teach the same things subliminally to the students in their schools. Those students then complete the circuit and go to the university to be reinforced in that thinking as, okay, hey, I heard that in school. Now I'm hearing it again. It must be right. And by the time you're finished, a couple of decades later, you've changed the culture of a country into a mirror of what those junior faculty want in universities. And the only way to control that, there'll be a gnashing of teeth and there'll be blood in the gutter but you've got to turn the spigot off at the universities. You've got to take control of the universities. That, of course, will be seen like the anathema, the opposite of democracy and freedom of speech. But they are the very people who are destroying democracy subliminally over a period of decades. And it has to stop. And unless we can do that, unless we can control the universities, we're simply going to be creating generation after generation of similar thinking closet socialists.
Little pretzels coming out that are good little robots is what we're producing.
That's right. And we are paying for our own destruction. They're only having these luxurious lifestyles with guaranteed pensions and all kinds of security in their position because we, taxpayer idiots, are allowing it to happen.
Yep, I agree. I agree with you 100% that, you know, we really need to take back the schooling system, period, across North America through the core programs and the other programs of indoctrination we see in all school systems now have to come to a stop because that's all they are. It's, to me, they're just indoctrination centers. And we look at what our statistic ratings are around the planet. And I looked at this a little while ago where, you know, our school systems in North America were at one time back in the 50s and 60s, some of the highest scholarship ratings in the world. And now we're down around, I think it's number 40 or 50 in a generality. So what's happened to our school systems?
That's right. You know,
we're not teaching education anymore. We're indoctrinating our children. That's why we see such a rise in homeschooling now in Canada. I know a lot of parents are doing that now, Doc, and that's because they don't want the kids in the school systems anymore. And I don't blame them. I don't. Now they're telling us that kids can go. Listen, the insanity of telling a child he can get a vaccine without his parents' consent is just an example of the lunacy we see going on. Yeah. Go ahead. Isn't that? Let's, no, we're going to give you a bowl of ice cream. We're going to give you a bowl of ice cream. Come in and get a shot. You know, come on, guys.
That's right.
I want to be able to strangle
that $100.
Yeah, $100 bonus in Alberta.
Ticket. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
And people are buying that crap, man.
I think in many respects, whether we're looking at COVID and the number of children dying, or whether we're looking at the economy, whether we're looking at the how well stocked or not the shelves in the supermarkets are, the price of gasoline, whether we're looking at any of those indices, I think things have to get worse before they get better. Because as of now, despite all those warning signs, the vast majority of the population are still just hunkering down and not reacting. It has to get a lot worse before we get the attention of the majority of the population to take to the streets and to eject these idiots who are pretending to govern us.
I would agree with you, Doc. I just hope that we can limit the damage being done and that happens very quickly because I honestly believe that if we give these people much more time, the depth of power they're incorporating in our country right now through multiple mechanisms might get to a point where we might not be able to stop it. And I think that's a real possibility. I mean, that's happened in history before, and we're going down the same path. So I do hope that people wake up to it very quickly because it's necessary. Go ahead.
Tyrannies always fail. It's just a matter of when. There are more of us than them. It's a matter of how educated and informed are the masses in order to add up to a significant threat to the idiots that are running the show. Shall we digress in the last little while into vaccine passports, Barry?
Sure. Let's talk about that. It's a big issue in society. What are your thoughts on the whole situation?
This is how you kill vaccine passports. You get right up close to a politician so he can smell your bad breath. And you say to him this. Okay. So we're going to have vaccine passports, are we? Okay. Well, tell me, Mr. Know-it-all, what happens next? Are you going to put an X on the forehead, a tattoo on the forehead of every one that is HIV positive? I don't think the gay community is going to let you get away with that, mate. Is that next? And what comes after that? We've never, ever discriminated in society on the basis of our health and our private health information.
Correct.
It's obviously untenable. We have now examples in the States and also in Canada of people with, let's say, one that I know specifically, a kidney transplant, a great match available. But you're not going to get it until you're vaccinated. Well, just rewind for a year or two. Someone's been in a motor vehicle accident, and they weren't wearing a seatbelt, and they get wheeled into an emergency department. Did they ask everyone that came in that circumstance, there's a left and right aisle here, were you or were you not wearing a seatbelt? Similarly, with heart transplants, coronary artery surgery, stents, and so on. Okay, so you're a smoker. Well, let me tell you something. I'm sorry, the healthcare system is rather stretched right now. You're not going to get the stent, I'm afraid, because you brought this on yourself. Obesity, diabetes, all the complications of diabetes. Are we going to say when someone comes in with gangrene because their vessels have clogged, are we going to say, sorry, we're not going to cut your leg off this time because you've done this to yourself? No. Medicine doesn't do that. Medicine takes all comers. Medicine treats you whether you were wearing a seatbelt or not, whether you were a smoker or not, whether you were an addict or not. We treat you. We don't discriminate on the basis of your habits. Whether you were vaccinated or not should be utterly irrelevant. And yet, that is being used as one of the new yardsticks. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a little bit of history here. When I was a medical student in London years ago, renal dialysis machines were in very short supply. And whether you got renal dialysis on one of these new machines or not, and you were in renal failure, whether you got on the list or not was determined, amongst other things, by what you had done to society. In other words, a social credit scheme, very much like they have in China right now, that actually happened in Britain in the 1960s. It actually happened. It can happen here, and it is happening here, with rationing and discrimination in healthcare on the basis of nothing more than whether you were convinced that you had to have this vaccine or coerced into having this vaccine. That is the most despicable medical apartheid you could possibly think of. And it has to be stopped in its tracks because it's the very antithesis of what medicine is all about.
Just about violates every human rights we have, doesn't it, Doc? And you think they're going to stop go ahead. But, you know, what they've done so far with this, the fact that people are accepting it, that's what's scaring me. Because, like I said earlier in the show, it's not going to stop at not being able to go to a restaurant or go to a sporting event. They'll keep adding restrictions on probably by the month. And it'll get to a point where we will not be able to function in society unless you carry your papers. And we're not too far away from that. So we've got to stop it now.
Every single statistic is unverified in so far as COVID is concerned. There is no certainty other than the number of people who are actually dying, whether you're vertical or horizontal, is obvious. Everything else is highly questionable, unverified. And so what I've done as a result during speeches that I give is I ask this question to audiences 500 plus. And I do this repeatedly. And I say to everyone, look, nothing's reliable out there, so we're forced to do straw polls. So I'm going to ask you all here, could you please put up your hand if any of you know of someone who has had a life-threatening event shortly after vaccination, by which I mean a heart attack, a stroke, a pulmonary embolus, not just a sore arm and a fever. Would you please put up your hand? The first time I did that, I was totally unprepared for the response. Approximately 25% of the people there put up their hand.
Wow.
So I did it again and again and again. And each time I got the same approximate proportion of people listening. What I'm trying to say is that this vaccine, so-called, I call it the clot shot, because that's the method by which it kills people. Mm-hmm. This clot shot is killing people on a scale that's unimaginable. We have, in the VAERS system in the States, we have about 11,000 deaths now, 11,000 deaths directly attributable to the vaccine. And that's felt to be understated by at least a factor of 5, if not 10, given the previous vaccination programs and the reporting mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. That starts getting commensurate with what everyone is sensing in their own individual lives of how many people they know who've come to grief with the vaccine. But the idiots running the show, despite introducing an experimental vaccine with only 6 months trial of the most trivial of endpoints, they're not at the same time introducing a robust, random screening program to determine the true incidence of these death-defying side effects. For that, they're immensely culpable. You can't have it both ways. You can't say on the one hand that it's an emergency, a public health emergency, and therefore we need emergency use authorization of an incredibly dangerous vaccine. You can't say that out of one side of your mouth, and out of the other side of your mouth, not institute a monitoring program for adverse side effects, A, and B, not allow the prescribing of agents that are known to be safe. I'm talking about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine now.
Correct.
Agents that are known to be safe and which many doctors believe are effective at early treatment. You can't have it both ways. If it's an emergency to the extent that you're authorizing this clot shot to go into billions of people's arms, you can't at the same time prevent doctors from acting as in the normal fashion of looking at their patients and deciding individually what is the best medication to use. There's so much culpability of politicians in this. It's outrageous. It's infuriating. It's catastrophic in scale.
It's hard to get the general public to accept that kind of information. Doc, I really I know what you're saying. I've looked into all kinds of reports here in the last couple of months about what's actually going on behind the scenes with these shots. And you're absolutely correct. This to me is criminal.
It's one of the worst things that's ever been brought up in human rights.
Go ahead.
Let me put a point on it. In real clinical medicine, real doctors who treat real people, who hold hands of people who are dying, right? Real medicine in the raw, okay? You've got someone in front of you who's sick, who, if they're not treated, is going to come back in a desperate mode, blue, and perhaps too late to be treated. I'm talking about COVID now. In real clinical medicine, we act, we make decisions based upon clinical judgment, wisdom, best evidence, the patient in front of us, my own knowledge base. That's how real medicine works. We don't say, oh, sorry, I'm afraid there isn't a randomized clinically controlled trial for this. Sorry, I can't prescribe this to you. No, we don't do that. Of course we don't do that. We've got someone dying in front of us, for God's sake. We don't stop the train and say we need to have the rigor of this academic exercise of a randomized clinically controlled trial. No, we don't do that. We act on the basis of the best thing to do for this patient at this moment with the drugs that I know are available. The idiots that are running the show have never treated a patient in their goddamn lives. They don't know what it's like to hold the hand of someone who's dying of metastatic cancer.
Bureaucrats, Doc. That's all they are. And when you take medicine and add it to politics, you have medical tyranny. And that's what we see coming hard at our society right now. When we allow this to go forward with these passports, we're basically giving up our freedoms going forward. And that's the way I see it, period. Hook, line, and sinker.
One of the biggest, if not the biggest culprit in terms of what's happening now as opposed to how we got here. That's wokeism. But in terms of what the problem that we have right now with medicine and the ability to prescribe, I point my finger squarely at the colleges of physicians and surgeons across this once fine country who are there to do one thing essentially and one thing only, principally, is to protect you from me, is to make sure that I'm not a pedophile, is to make sure I'm not cutting off the wrong leg. And that's what historically they've been doing, and they've been doing it reasonably well. Instead of protecting the public in that way, the colleges of physicians and surgeons are now co-conspirators in state-sanctioned murder, doing exactly the opposite of what they're supposed to do. They should be banging the table in the ministry saying, why the hell are you doing this? It's medical malpractice. It's causing more harm than good. And there is no informed consent. How can you have informed consent if you're not informed? If the colleges are telling every physician across this country, do not say anything that is counter to the narrative coming out of the ministry, that's not informed consent. That's coercion.
That's communism.
And yet the colleges of physicians are the primary architect of silencing the principal source of information for the average individual to decide if they want this vaccine or not.
I agree. Listen, Doc, the hour is gone. Believe it or not, that went very quickly. I got to thank you for coming in today and sharing your thoughts with people. And hopefully we can do this again in the very near future. Last thought for you before I let you go.
I thank you for the opportunity. It's important that alternative media uses as much muscle as possible, because the mainstream media is being bought off and bribed by Mr. Fancy Socks in Ottawa. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. So thank you very much for the opportunity of getting a message out there.
No problem. Like I said, we'll have you back again sometime in the future if you'll oblige me, and we'll continue the conversation. Thanks
yes.
again.
Enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye for now. Yeah, Steve, I couldn't control his language. I heard a couple blips there, and it pissed me off. But I'll mention to him. If I ever have him on again, I'll make sure.
You're still on the microphone. You haven't signed off for the hour yet.
I'm sorry. Okay. Hey, sorry, guys. I thought it was off the mic there. Yeah, I apologize for a couple blips there with the language, guys. I'll be back in about 3 minutes with Todd. And I guarantee you Todd won't slip up. Great conversationalist. And like I said, I'll be back in a couple minutes to talk to Todd.
Yeah.
Okay, well, welcome back to Third Hour here, folks, and thanks again, Doctor, for coming in. Good information. I'm joined this Third Hour here by a gentleman I haven't had on my show. We were just talking before we came on the air here for, I think it's close to a year since I've had a conversation with Todd. Maybe not quite that long, but it's been too long, actually. So welcome back. Todd Run is running an organization called Winnipeg Alternative Media. Welcome back to the show, Todd. Great to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be with you again. Yeah, like we were, I guess, just saying off air a moment ago. It's been quite some time, probably close to a year or something like that, since I've had the pleasure of joining you.
Well, we do have a common bond there, Todd. We're both a little bit insane because we both play that position called goal in hockey, where, you know, we're diving in front of pucks and other guys are diving to get out of the way. So we do definitely share a mental disorder in life. So that makes this makes usually for a good conversation because I don't get to talk to a lot of goalies in my life. And I know that's what you love playing, like me. Only now I can't play, Todd, because I can't go into my arena. Isn't that great? Don't you love society? Hey, I'm now officially a segregated citizen. How about you?
No, I'm glad you said that, because, of course, that was going to be the number one comment I was going to make about the hockey situation. And, it's almost like I have to say I used to be a goalie, right? I guess, actually, aside from hoping or waiting for the outdoor rinks to be flooded here in Winnipeg, I could almost say that I used to be a hockey fan, because, of course, it's not like I'm – you know, wearing any of my Jets paraphernalia or stuff like that, or watching them on television anymore, because I refuse to support in any way, shape, or form anything or anyone or any organization or anybody that is involved in this current, segregating of the population and all of that absolute nonsense. Yeah. But you're right. We do have that common bond, though, of kind of putting ourselves in the firing line. I have knack for getting into that kind of trouble, I guess. It goes much beyond being a goaltender.
It is something that you either love it or you hate it, and you love it enough that we put up with the pain that comes with playing the position. So my love of stopping pucks is something that I never could get rid of in my life. And now, effectively, I'm being put into retirement because I'm 67 now, Todd. If I don't get back on the ice this year, they shut me down last year and then again this year, that's 2 years without playing hockey. My old body probably won't do it now going forward. And that's a shame, because it's something that, for me, it's one of the biggest stress releases in my life. The feeling when you come off the ice after a game of hockey, Todd, there's no describing that feeling. It's just euphoria. And they're taking that away from us.
Yeah.
Especially when you stone them and you're in the zone. Wow. You vibe for about 8 hours. Can't go to sleep.
There's so many things that we're missing out on there, right? The physicality, the exercise, of course, you know, the dopamine, really, the great thing that you feel afterwards, you know, that great relief, that great stress relief of, you know, being able to just sort of put the day-to-day away for a little bit and the stresses of your life and the world in general, and just, you know, focus on a game and enjoying, you know, just that and only that. And then, of course, enjoying the people that you're with as well, too. You know, the camaraderie between you and the other team, the camaraderie between you and your teammates, the fun conversations and stuff that you have in the dressing room before and after. All of that is like, it's really, really important, just like any other kind of sort of normal socializing and all of those things that have been, you know, taken away from us over the past 18 months or whatever is, of course, you know, it plays itself out in all kinds of other really nasty situations, but really that only is a problem as much as you let it be a problem. Like with the hockey thing and any kind of like team sports and that, we've been saying now, like at the Winnipeg rallies and all of that, we've been talking about it for months and months, which is, of course, you know, you just have to be prepared to build your own. We were encouraging people here in Winnipeg for a long time now, including all the way back to last summer, to say, like, look, if they're going to tell you that, you know, you can only drop your kid off at a certain sporting event, whether it be outdoor soccer or, you know, hockey in an arena or whatever. And that's, of course, just like, you know, something that you shouldn't do. Every kid wants their parents to be there watching them. We always encourage people to go start your own, you know, go to the local community club. I mean, you can't do that, of course, until you're into winter and you actually have the outdoor ice ready. Otherwise, you can't really go I mean, if you happen to know people and have a friend and you could find yourself an indoor rink that's going to kind of look the other way, that would be wonderful. But of course, that's probably not going to be the case in most situations. So you go and easier with soccer because, you know, as long as it's not winter, you can go to a field anywhere. A little more difficult for outdoor hockey, but still the same, kind of mentality should apply, where you just go find other people in your community that are kind of a like mind, saying like, look, I don't want to go put up with these mandates and these rules and these restrictions and not being able to just go and do what I did when I was growing up, which is, you know, just go to the rink with the family, with the grandparents, and all sit around and have your coffees and enjoy watching the practice or the game and everything else. You know, you go find the people that feel that way and go start your own league, and especially easy for grown men as well, too.
Well, it's part of our culture, Todd, and they've taken that right away. And you know, this is all, of course, by design. Taking away a person's ability to go to the arena, we're seeing the restriction being put on children, the restriction being put on parents. This is all about to the bottom line is that it's destroying our culture in Canada. And if people don't think that's important, they really don't understand what's going on right now and how adversely this is affecting society. I know for myself, Todd, I mean, every year, I'm looking forward to hockey, looking forward. A couple of years ago, the first day they had ice in the rink, I went over the rink and I walked in and put my hand on the ice. You know, it's like, that's what I do. I just love playing. And now they've taken that away for what? For what reason? For something that's not going to affect anybody in the arena, period. And yet pro sports, they're allowed to go on like nothing's happening, guys.
Go talk to the Ottawa Senators, right? Who are like, 40% of the team apparently has COVID, but yet, of course, they're all double vaccinated. I mean, that kind of...
Yeah, explain that.
That really should open everybody's eyes as to what's actually going on here. And of course, your shots, no matter how many you take, don't have any meaning whatsoever. And of course, neither do those case counts as well too. Do you really think that there's a whole bunch of professional athletes that are sitting at home basically like in need of a hospital bed, like they're almost dying? No. Of course, it's the same. It's a double-edged sword. That's both ends are a hilarious joke that should open up the eyes of the entire world like that, like flicking a switch, but of course doesn't. Even if the mainstream media actually puts it up there as a headline in a way that you should plainly see, like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. There's obvious questions here. And the double-edged sword is, okay, on one side, you have obviously a very ineffective vaccine. I know I shouldn't even be calling it a vaccine, right? On the other side, you have the PCR test ramped up to probably 40 plus cycles. So that's why you get these professional athletes that are, of course, asymptomatic. They're not coughing and barely able to breathe. They're not going to a hospital. They're not on a respirator. They're perfectly fine. They're just being told to go sit at home for 2 weeks and continue to collect millions of dollars. And that's just because of a stupid, faulty PCR test. So you either have the stupid, faulty PCR test or you have the stupid, faulty shots, and the circus just goes around and around and around and around, and it just never ends. The question I would ask
you: you take the Pfizer out, you add a little Moderna, you stir it all about.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you add in a lousy PCR test that the creator even said is absolutely being used wrong, and you get the 2021. It's just ridiculous. The question I would ask you about your situation, and anybody that's listening to this right now that is in that kind of situation, would be: do you think you have enough, like, say, grown men in your community there, Barry, that would say, okay, so the owner of the arena that we used to play our beer league hockey in is going to follow all the rules. He's not going to let us unclean into his building. You know, let's all just get together and go hop on the outdoor rink and have our beer league hockey out there without any problems. Do you think you'd have enough guys around that would do that with you?
Well, I think there would be, but the problem here, we don't get enough cold weather, honestly, in the winter to actually have ice. I mean, last year, I think the ice was on the lake for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then it was gone. And most years, the lake doesn't even freeze over, Todd. So we don't have that luxury here of outdoor hockey. Because believe me, if it freezes out there and there's ice, I'll be out there every day because I'm going through withdrawals right now.
Yeah, man.
I'll probably die from a heart attack because I haven't been on the ice this year. When you put your gear on and go after that puck hard, people don't know how much of a stress we put on our bodies. You do and I do. But playing goal isn't an easy position. And people think we're back there and we're not doing anything, Todd. Well, I'll tell you guys, try and chase that little puck around. And it's not just the shots that come in. It's the action in your zone and the whole realm of what it takes on your body. And I know my body gets old. If I go out now, I'd probably die. But I'll die with a smile on my face, Todd.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand. In a really intense game where there is just a lot of action and you know you're up against like a really good opponent, one of the toughest things about being goaltender also becomes that sort of just the fact that you have to be mentally focused and continuing, like, you know, the players, they get to go to the bench and, you know, swig the water bottle and talk amongst one another. And when they're on the bench, you don't have to go pay attention to everything that's happening on the ice. But for a goalie, you only get that little bit of time in between periods. Other than that, you have to be wired into everything happening, even at the other end of the rink, consistently. And
yeah, if you have a bad game, everybody knows about it. But if your defenseman has a bad game, well, leave it up to the goalie.
That's right. The goalie's still getting thrown under the bus just the same. Yeah. No kidding.
But, you know, Todd, you know, we won't talk about goaltending too much longer. But you and I both know that when a goalie gets into the zone and we rob the opponent, there is nothing in the world like it. We have guys breaking their sticks over my crossbar because I've absolutely robbed them. That's a high that, unless you've done it in your life, folks, it's really hard to explain. I know you could add to that, Todd, without any problem at all, where you've been in the zone. It doesn't matter what they fire at you, you stop it. There's nothing like it in the whole world, buddy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's why we're goalies. But now I just got memories, buddy. I'm a legend in my own mind now. And I had a lot of good years of it. I hope I can get back out and play some more, but it doesn't look like it, Todd. It doesn't look like this craziness is going to go away anywhere soon. But then in the same mouthful, I have this last week, because of people I'm talking to and some of the groups that I'm involved in, I'm really starting to see some major pushback, and I'm starting to see some results. What do you think?
Yes, I mean, I think a lot of us, if you've been, you know, paying attention and you're kind of into, you know, doing a bit of your research, looking at the mainstream media and, of course, beyond, then, yeah, I think it's quite easy to see that there has been lots of pushback. There's now lots of lawyers starting to step forward. There's union groups and many others, you know, that are helping out and protecting, you know, say stuff like nurses, doctors, police, police officers, firefighters, postal workers, the whole battle with all of CN, all of that is not failing. It's not something that, you know, a bunch of, conspiracy theorists are attempting right now, and they don't know what they're talking about. So, of course, it's not going to go anywhere, and the government's going to slap them down, and who cares? No, the same kind of thing that you see happening in the U.S., right, where Biden trying to go push it through as a national thing. Like, no, the vaccine mandates are just going to be like this across the board, which, of course, anybody who knows U.S. law knows that's, like, why would a president even say that? Like, how does the president of the country not know that that's something you just cannot say because states are autonomous? So, of course, states like Florida and now many others are coming up to the table and saying, like, no, that's not going to be the way that we do business here. And so, of course, the Biden, vaccine mandates are failing. You're kind of starting to see the same thing happen in Canada as well, too, that even though Trudeau and others want to go pound their fists and say it's going to be like this across the board, the whole country is going to do this, and it's just because. Nope. Yep. You've got provinces, cities, unions, businesses, large companies all saying not a chance, and also saying if you continue to go push it in that way and think that we're wrong for saying no to your request, then we will take you to court. So good. It's something that we've been saying here at Winnipeg Alternative Media for the last several months now, which is in reality, and we knew this was almost kind of a bit of a prediction that we're now being completely bonafide as predicting, which is that COVID's not really filling hospitals. In the end, it's going to be known for filling courtrooms.
And there's all kinds of legal litigation coming against this government right now, Todd. Multiple groups filing litigation. One of the problems we're going to see is that the court systems are just going to drag their feet and hearing these cases. So in the meantime, what's going to stop these governments from imposing these draconian measures when we have all this litigation waiting in court to be heard? There's got to be some kind of a mechanism in Canada. I'm trying to find out if there is, Todd. I was actually talking to my brother-in-law, who's a lawyer here today, and he's going to look into this to me before, because there's got to be some form of litigation in Canada, and I'm not sure if there is, but right now we have literally thousands of litigations coming against the government. Yep. Shouldn't these draconian measures be put on hold until these litigations are held or heard? And that's what we're looking into. There's all kinds of people pushing back legally against this government. And some of the stuff, like I saw this week and have been privy to, is really, really encouraging, Todd. It's the only mechanism we have right now is the court system, even though we know they're corrupt to the core. We've got to call out the police forces. We've got to call out the enforcers of the law in this country. And if we do, boy, these people are in a lot of trouble, my friend, a lot of trouble.
Yep, exactly. And we just have to continue to hope that the people that are making those motions and taking those steps, of course, are doing so for the right reasons, and that they are battle hardened and ready to go fight this right through to the end, and will not let anything shake, shake them or may have them to waver. And if that is going to be the process and that is going to continue forward, then yeah, there is going to be a lot of positive things that come with that, including, you know, hopefully the complete failure of all of the things that we're being told that we're going to have to live with and deal with. And also possibly the complete, sort of routing out and removal, hopefully, of really, really, really terrible people and criminals, actual criminals that are the ones that are standing behind this and saying, you know, you will not remove this process, and you will not stop us from pushing this forward. It shouldn't just be a process of stopping them. It should also be a process of making sure that those people are completely out of those positions forevermore.
What do you think about them sticking needles in our 5-year-olds, Todd? What are your thoughts on that?
Of course, another horrible prediction that a lot of us were mentioning, you know, probably even a year ago, that is one of those situations, like there has been many of as of late, where you kind of were saying to yourself, it sucks to be right sometimes, because that was the one thing that we were always warning about is, you know, as much as they can go push around all the adults of this world who should know how to fight back and stand up for themselves regardless, then once it's all of a sudden the children, it's another one of those steps, right? Another one of those kind of like creeping deaths of just like, you know, basically of just losing so many basic rights and fundamentals that people have been willing to get to that point. And then it's like, oh my gosh, you know, months ago, the warning was, hey, you know, you guys haven't pushed back on any of the mask mandates and, you know, and all of that garbage, which is still an attempt to control you, your body, your person, and your choice. And so eventually the vaccine mandates are going to be, you know, even worse for you, because now it's something in your body and can actually affect your health dramatically, so on and so forth. And, you know, and you're going to have to, and you're going to possibly lose your job over it. And not enough people really care to heed those warnings. So then they get to the point where it's, crap, I'm actually now, I might have to lose my job. Like, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Well, same thing with the vaccines for kids as well, too. Okay, they're pushing you around with that, but what if they start to come for your kids? What if they want to start sneaking around and saying they can just bring it into the schools without even telling you, so on and so forth? Oh, yeah, well, that's never going to happen. Okay, now here it is. Oh, boy, oh, wow, oh, what do I do? Oh, help me, help me, help me. Okay, well, we've been warning you.
but they give them a bowl of ice cream, Todd.
Right, yeah, well, they're going to give the parents a bowl of ice cream as well, too, right?
I shouldn't laugh.
But it's another one that I think continues to shake more and more people kind of awake and go, wow. That crazy conspiracy theorist friend or family member of mine was telling me this like 5-6 months ago. And now they're secretly trying to just like teach my kid, at school, they bring Big Bird and Sesame Street onto CNN, right? Same thing. And that's another thing as well, too, that people have to realize, whether you don't know it yet or not, is at this point in the game, anybody who has kind of stood up, like anybody who was working, you know, if we're just going to talk about kids, anybody who was working in the schools that didn't like the social distancing, the distance learning, the masks on kids, the keeping them away from one another, masks even when you're playing outside or doing gym class, you know, horrible stuff like that. The people who were smart enough and intelligent enough and responsible enough and brave enough to go and say, well, I can't do this. This is wrong. Like, I feel like with myself, like I left 13 years working in childcare this past April because of exactly what I'm saying right now. I refused to do it any longer, and I could see no end. I was the only person in this province to call the head office of Manitoba Child Daycares and say, so is there any way that a childcare worker can be mask exempt? Is there any way that, you could tell me about, your guys' thoughts on the continuing to put masks on kids for forevermore, because there seems to be no end to this, and why you still have masks on kids outside, and why you would continue to do this, you know, just because, even though there's no danger to kids whatsoever. They put me on speakerphone and brought me into a boardroom while other people gathered around the phone because they were in shock, and they said they had never heard anybody speak like that before. And of course, it was one of the moments where I was like, oh boy, I can't work for you people anymore, because this is just evil. So anyhow, what I was getting at is all of the people who would have stood up, like myself or whoever else, they're all gone now. So basically, in a lot of ways, all you have left now in the schools and other places are the compliant ones, are basically, you know, without wanting to be too, I guess, judgmental or insulting, are people who have
a bunch of evil people. Let's call it what it is.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, like, that's kind of what you're left with now. I highly doubt that there's really anybody left, and especially if we're just, again, just talking kids and the public schools. I don't think, and hopefully not, because really, I would feel sorry for those people. It's a tough one. Like, you kind of wish that there were people in the schools that would be kind of trying to still go along with it and work from the inside and see to it that more and more horrible things aren't going to happen. But then again, you would kind of feel for them as well, too, because I was like, well, that means you've been wearing a mask against everything in your body and your soul, screaming out saying, don't do this and don't continue to watch the kids doing this for well over a year, you know, and all that. So it's kind of tough. But I would hedge a bet that most likely all those individuals are gone now, because they've either been because they either left, like what I had to do, because just couldn't stand it anymore. You know, you were losing sleep at night. You knew that everything was wrong and you can't just be a part of it and willfully go along and watch it. Or they've been fired already because they've had conversations with their superiors and said, like, this is wrong and I don't want to do this. Or they've been fired because they, and this is a big one, they were photographed and doxed for going to a rally. Right?
Oh, never. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
God forbid us we ever stand up for a right.
So many people.
Well, I tell you, Todd, you know, I remember having a conversation with you the last time I think we had you on. You mentioned to me that your job was probably going to be in jeopardy in the very near future because of what you're doing for a living at that point was in the system. And I applaud you, sir, for doing the right thing. I just hope that some other form of employment's come along for you. Are you back working or have you got another job?
Well, let's see. And, you know, I left 13 years in childcare this past April.
Right.
At that point, you know, there was a lot going on. You know, the restrictions and things happening here in the province were still really, really, really nasty. There was still a lot of momentum growing through the spring and into the summer, you know, with our rallies and our events. And Winnipeg Alternative Media, of course, was right at the helm of that. Then myself and others were then kind of now in the Canadian history books, really, as some of the first few to have to be arrested under a public health order for peaceful gatherings. So then we had to go through all of that, spent some time in jail.
You did.
What's that?
You did. You spent some time in jail.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, myself and others. Crazy. Patrick Allard, Sharon, Dr. Jerry Bohemier, a retired chiropractor, and Minister Tobias Tissen of the Church of God here around Steinbeck. We had a big rally back in April. It was the biggest, like it was the biggest one. Yeah, we had Chris Skye there. And of course, back there in April, he was, you know, a much bigger name even than he is now. I know there's a whole bunch of problems that follow him around and this and that, but I won't even get into that because I really don't care. So we had him here in Winnipeg and some other really good speakers. And we had been building momentum up to that point for, you know, a good couple of months throughout the ending of this past winter, you know, into March and such. And the crowds were really starting to grow and we were clearly making an impact. And then we had the big one with Chris Skye at the Forks here in Winnipeg and had several thousand people out. And that just drove people insane. The media, you know, Pallister was still our premier at that point in time. So him and Brent mm-hmm. Rusin just flipped out. And then it was like, then it was game on. And you could just tell that they were going to try to do something that was going to be way over the mark, legally speaking, to fight us off. And so then we were planning another big one late May. And the day before our big event that was going to be on May 28th, I think. It was then announced by the Winnipeg police that they had signed off on arrest warrants for us. And so,
You're a criminal.
Yes. Yeah. So
for standing up for your country.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable, right? Getting arrested for peaceful assembly, which, by the way, the province has signed off on as well, too, because there was a court case going on at that time that just finally ended like about a month ago, where Judge Joyal here in the province did come down with his verdict. That every measure that the province has taken throughout COVID was all perfectly fine. The closing of churches, the closing of small businesses, the ticketing and making it illegal to peacefully gather was all fine, was all good. Funny enough, Pat Allard, a friend of mine, he's already had most of his tickets already dropped, including a breach charge that me and Pat were the only ones that also got arrested a second time. We got arrested for breaches as well too. He got arrested for a breach because he posted online that people should go block the roads to the first Blue Bombers game of the season because, of course, it was double vaxxed only, right? And so Pat put a little thing up on Facebook tagging the Blue Bombers in it, which got the attention of a crap load of people, and just said, and the restrictions at that point were 150, only 150 could gather outside at one time. And so trying to play within the rules because we had all these release conditions, right? When we had to go sign a bunch of our basic rights away to some degree to get out of jail. And then so we could fight it legally because we wanted to fight it legally to set a precedent, which we are actually still doing. And I'd say it's working out in our favor. So of course those release conditions said cannot promote, any type of event that's breaking public health order, and of course no contact orders as well too. I was working with Pat at the time. We had to go get it cleared by the Crown to be able to continue to work together because they wanted to keep us separated. I still can't contact any of the rest that were arrested. It's a really, really sad day. Of course, when you have it in writing that, let's say, if I were to talk to a minister, if I were to talk at a church that I was attending, if I were to talk to Minister Tobias Tissen on the phone, it would technically be a breach and we should both go to jail. Because, when you talk to a minister on the phone, the whole, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, right? Like, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Me and Pat Allard have it in writing. I'm going to have this framed and on my wall soon enough. It's in writing from the Crown that Mr. McDougal and Mr. Allard can continue to work together, but they cannot play ball hockey together.
I should not laugh because this is not funny at all.
You
have to laugh a little bit at it, but it's not funny, my friend.
No, it's a dark comedy for sure. Yeah. Yeah, so he got arrested because he was trying to play within the rules. So he made his Facebook post and said that 75 people should gather the two roads leading into the stadium, meaning 150. And they came and arrested him for that pre-crime because, of course, the event hadn't taken place yet. So he didn't actually break the law yet. But they came and arrested him just saying that. They literally told him. They said, well, you're a social media influencer, so you could have got more than 150 people. And then, of course, Pat was going like, yeah, but then you have to wait for that to happen. Well, they threw him in jail for a day anyways. And so
I can't believe it's really hard to even listen to this kind of conversation, Todd. It really is. I know this is going on, but here we are in Canada in 2021, and these are the conversations we're having when it started out to be 15 days to flatten the curve. Where are we now?
It's just as comedic, actually. I got arrested for a breach about 1 week after the initial arrest. So I had just been in jail. And then I went to my local Shoppers Drug Mart here in my area of Winnipeg, a place where I had worked at like 7-8 years ago. I know the manager. I had my run-ins with his employees back this past winter with the whole mask thing and them apparently not having any idea what a mask exemption is and what the real rules are. So I had a conversation with this man back in the winter and just kind of said, like, look, are you aware that there is such thing as mask exemptions written in these rules? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, your employees have hassled me and my girlfriend and my family multiple times. It seems like you're not doing your job in teaching them, and you should be warning them that, whether they want to play by the rules or not, they should not be harassing your customers. So would you like me to take my business elsewhere? Because you're my only shop. Shoppers Drug Mart in the area. You hold a, you sell a lot of things that I need for my kid, for my little boy. And, you know, so you can either make money from me or you cannot. What would it be? And he said, no, I will tell all my employees. It's all good. It's all good. Well, when Pallister, again, back this past winter, went on TV and said, if you break the public health orders, there's a really good chance you're going to get your name on the television. What he was saying, and we knew what he was meaning by that right off the hop. I was reporting on it instantly at Winnipeg Alternative Media. Is what he was saying was he was basically getting the public ready to, you know, to be the enforcers, right? You know, we're going, it's basically like an Antifa style of thing. It's like basically like wanting to like say like we're doxing you. We're going to put your name and your face out in the public. We're going to put you all over the media, on television, in the newspapers, and then the public is going to go to work on you because we're going to get them all angry at you. And that kind of thing absolutely works. So then when we all got arrested, that's exactly what they did. They made sure that even our conditions, our bail conditions, which I don't think is proper to put in print and put in the media, but they did, so that people would know to watch for us. And, you know, oh, hey, you see McDougal going into a store without a mask. And this is the really weird thing. And this is why I want my breach charge eventually dropped, along with all my tickets and everything as well. I have like over $10,000 worth of tickets.
I feel left out, Todd, because I haven't got one yet. But I'm not in any kind of population center. I'm in sleepy little Terrace, BC, here, where nothing exciting happens like that. But boy, if I was in the city with you, I'd be in there, and I'm sure I'd be equal on jail time by this point.
I'm sure we've got to
stand up to this stuff.
Absolutely. So anyway, that worked exactly the way Pallister wanted it to, because a week after my initial arrest, with my name and face everywhere in the media, I went into that same Shoppers Drug Mart, and I thought about it for a brief moment before I went in, like, okay, because my bail condition said you have to follow all public health order. But here's the funny thing: inside the public health order is the room for exemptions. So how am I breaking public health order by doing what I was doing within the rules before getting arrested? Doesn't matter that it's now a bail condition. There's exemptions. Right. And I don't have to go prove that I'm exempt. I don't have to show you a doctor's note. That's all written in their own rules. So I walk into that Shoppers Drug Mart to go get registered mail. So pretty, pretty essential, right? Registered mail. Like, I can't get it from anywhere else. That's the closest post office to me. So that's where they send it. So I go in there without a mask on, and instantly the person behind the counter goes, you know, points to her face and goes, you know, mask. And I'm like, no, come on. We've been through this. You can call up Harvey, the manager, if you want, because I've been through with him many times. There's allowed to be exemptions, and I'm here for registered mail. It's extremely essential. So I'm going to get my registered mail, and I'm going to be on my way. There's nobody around. The whole post office at the back of the store is empty. There's not a single other person there using the post office. Well, so she calls up the manager, Mr. Harvey, and he comes up, and then, and this is when you know that, Pallister's ruling there is working really well. Soon as he lays eyes on me, he just yells at me, "You get out." And he's swearing as well, too. And I'm like, "Harvey, excuse me. We've had a conversation about this. You know me. I am allowed to be here and get my registered mail." "I don't think so. You get out right the F now. Go, go." Now he's making a big scene because he's a big hero that day, right? Because now he knows, hey, this McDougal guy just got arrested. He's one of like the dirtiest, horrible, most horrible people in the province. He's putting together rallies and keeping us all in this COVID mess, but he doesn't care. You could just see that in this man's eyes. So he gets to be the hero that day. He kicks me out of the store. I apologize to him and don't put up a fight, and I leave very, very politely. I even call him back from his parking lot, or not call him back, but call him on the phone to say, okay, all right, so you just kicked me out. I never expected things to go that way, but, you know, I told him, I will never come to your store again now, but okay, how do I get my registered mail? Well, you'll have to figure that one out with Tracy, you know, who owns the store. I'm like, okay, put Tracy on the phone. Nope, she's left already. Well, yeah, she left because she was probably already running down to the cop shop. A few hours later, cops are at my door. They tell me that it's a breach. I go and spend another 24 hours in jail. And I even told the police, I was holding a little piece of paper that had all of the rules from the province on it about mask exemptions. And I was like, how is it a breach of not following public health order when I'm holding rules from the public health order right here, their officers. And of course, all they can say is, yeah, I know. Tell it to the judge. And these officers, I feel kind of sorry for them. The one woman, she was like looking at her feet and she was like, they didn't want to be doing it. They like, it's some of these police officers, and we know it especially now because of the vax mandates and the fact that they're now come forward because of, you know, possibly having to lose their jobs, and have said, you know, that they weren't for any of these things. And, you know, they know that so much of what they've been told to do is just awful and not necessary. And, you know, yeah, anyhow. And you got to learn that when you're in jail as well, too, because you could hear some of the officers, the way they were talking. Like when I was in for my breach, this one really friendly officer that had spent a bit of time with me when I was in the first time was like, what's McDougal doing back here? Like you could just kind of hear it in their voice that they're going like real, like, you know, criminals, real danger to society. Individuals should be taking up this cell right now. Not the guy who didn't want to put a mask on. Like, are you kidding me? And this one friendly officer, he was taking me to the washroom. And, you know, and he's asking me, like, what are you doing back here already? And I told him the story I just told you. And you could just see his eyes roll like, oh, my gosh. So,
yeah, they're really caught in a pickle, aren't they? Like, a lot of them. I mean, you know, they've got their career and their jobs. But they see these draconian measures that are actually criminal by our government being perpetrated on society. And I'm seeing a lot of police officers in Canada standing up for the people now. And I'm seeing also the bad guys that aren't going to stand up for the people. Mounties for Freedom, that's one site. I'm going to have one of their officers on next week. Going to talk to me about what's going on in that organization. And then I've also went and looked at the support groups for that organization this week, and the numbers are growing exponentially. But it's basically two pages now of organization, law enforcement organizations across the country that are basically standing with this organization called Mounties for Freedom. Go have a look at it, guys, because they are starting to gain a lot of attention. I'm sure you've looked at the site, eh, Todd?
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, I've even interviewed and talked to some people that are involved in that organization as well, too. Cool. Yeah, that's incredible stuff. Same with, yeah, you know, Police on Guard for Thee and all those organizations. They are doing great work. And again, it's kind of sad that it has to get to the point where, you know, for a year plus, those officers were doing things like carrying out illegal arrest warrants for myself and others and seeing us go take up jail cells in downtown Winnipeg when clearly they know other people should probably be taking up those spots. But then they get to the point where now they're being looked at and it's like, hey, you got to go put this in your body or you can't work here anymore. And then they go, okay, now we have a problem. You know, it's that same, it's the same thing that I know a lot of us have been mentioning throughout the majority of this whole process. You know, it's the line from, you know, from Nazi Germany, right? First they came for, you know, first they came for the Jews. Then they came for, you know, this person. Then they came for these people. Then they came for those people, you know, and I watched it all happen until they came for me. And we, again, it just kind of ties to something that I was just talking about early in our conversation here. You know, it's another one of those, it's the same old kind of situation where it's like, you know, we've been talking about that and making those points and telling those stories and kind of pointing to history going, look, look, look. And still it has to play out that same way where that is kind of like, you know, a little kind of like poem or whatever that I just mentioned has to still kind of play out exactly as it reads and just reoccur in history again, which I guess is just the way things work for humanity.
Well, history's repeating itself right now, Todd. Absolutely. I mean, all we have to do is look, like I talk about this a lot, is look at what was going on in Germany just prior to the Second World War, i.e. 1934 to the beginning of the war, and what happened there is exactly what's happening in our society, almost to the T, and we know where that one ended up. Wasn't a good place, but that's what's going on in our society right now. They take control of the media. Yeah.
And now it's happening again in that same location as well, too. You have Germany and Austria that are now going into, we all thought Australia was really bad over the last couple of months. And then all of a sudden now Eastern Europe is now standing up and going like, hey, you know what? We can do better than Australia. How about we do down for the unvaccinated, which is like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're saying do it for 10 days, but every time you hear those kinds of, right, you know, 15 days or 2 weeks to flatten the curve, you know, 2 years ago. So when you hear Austin say, we're just going to go try this for 10 days, of course, you're going to take that with a grain of salt because that 10 days quickly turns into 10 months pretty fast.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, society is allowing a full lockdown of society now in that country if you're not vaccinated. Well, that same agenda is going to come here. What's going on in Australia is going to come here, Todd. and where they're at and where New Zealand's at is pretty scary. But in the same mouthful, I don't know if you watched the demonstrations yesterday in Australia and New Zealand, some of the biggest turnouts on the streets yet. What's going to happen, Todd? Is it going to go to civil war? Because it sure looks to me like right now the Australian people are getting to the breaking point. Same with the New Zealanders.
The only way they stay away from that is kind of the same thing that we, of course, were, you know, that we were just talking about a moment ago about Canada, which is, you know, their police officers, military, those kinds of individuals that would be, of course, called upon to protect the state and to enforce their rules. If they stand up and say, you know, not a chance, then that's a game changer every time.
Well, I think maybe it's important that people engage with conversations with police officers in their area and maybe get a feel for where they stand when it comes to actually enforcing these draconian measures on citizens or holding our charter rights and freedoms for what it's supposed to be. Even that piece of paper now is shredded. It means nothing because every one of those so-called freedoms that we have, they stepped on, and society really isn't doing too much about it, are they? They're just kind of going along to get along. It's a pretty sad state we find ourselves in, Todd. What happened to Canadian men with testicles? Go ahead. Well, really, what happened to men in this country? I mean, our grandfathers aren't liking it.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And, you know, and that was a big conversation. Like I had, I did a broadcast on Remembrance Day and just kind of wanted to have the conversation with anybody that was willing to have it. Just saying, like, you know, how sad it is to kind of be able to admit and to know that even though there was some obvious kickback from veterans on this past Remembrance Day, you know, for having to say, go show their papers to get into a Remembrance Day ceremony, that still there's a huge amount of them. We're talking even, you know, the actual World War II vets, like, you know, old guys with not too many more years, maybe, that you would think that they would be saying to themselves, this is what we fought to stop. But sadly enough, there's a very great majority of them. I guess I'd have to call it the majority, because it's not like we saw a whole bunch of protests or a whole bunch of people going to a ceremony and saying, no, we're coming in here anyways, because, you know, whatever. No pushback, really, except for certain individuals. So that clearly says, I guess, that, you know, the whole scare of, this virus is out to kill you. The world has to change this way. These rules have to be put in place because it's just saving lives. And a whole bunch of World War II vets that you would think would be going, wait a minute, are we getting to the point because of this virus that we're showing our papers to go and travel and stuff like that now? No. This is what we stopped back in the 40s. No. We can't take being scared of a virus that direction. And that didn't happen. They're okay with it. And I always thought we were saying back at some of the rallies and stuff like that months ago, saying, like, you know, hoping this was kind of true. I guess it was sort of wishful thinking at the time, but it made sense. And we were getting sort of, you know, comments back from older people when we would say these kinds of things, saying that we were correct in saying it, which was like, you know, we're completely removing, you know, a good childhood away from all the kids just to go and protect, say, you know, grandma and grandpa from a virus that may or may not actually hurt them or kill them or whatever. So I would imagine a lot of them should be thinking, you know, hey, we've had 80, 85, 90 years. Don't worry about us. We'll go figure it out. Or if you need to just go, if you need to rush vaccines out the door for us because we're the ones that are majorly in danger, okay, fine, we'll deal with that. But keep protect your kids and give your kids a childhood. And you know, we would say those kinds of things, and we'd have older folks go like, that's absolutely correct. I'm glad you said that. But that's not the majority. And apparently the majority of grandparents out there don't care that their grandchildren don't have a normal childhood anymore and are happy with all the rules and don't care that their grandkids are wearing masks all day long and will gladly continue to wear them themselves and will go to a Remembrance Day ceremony and gladly show their papers because they think they're staying safe. And that's pathetic, I gotta say. I would take a look right at an 85-year-old war vet, and if he was gonna look at me and say all the rules are in place to save my life, I would say, that's really sad, sir. I'm yeah, so
you know, that is sad, Todd. What you're talking about right now is very sad. And I saw that on Remembrance Day, and I read those articles. And you know what? It really kind of makes me wonder what is going on in this country. Do we have a chance to stop this? I'm going to say, yes, we do, even though that was not a good thing, what we saw going on Remembrance Day. I believe now, Todd, that enough people are starting to wake up in this country that I think you're going to see a rise in the population. I have to stay positive. Because we're in such a terrible time right now, my friend. But I'm going to stay positive and say we're going to win this thing. But I think we're going to go through some crap before we get there. I do.
Yeah, hopefully, like, you know, as this process continues, maybe we will all of a sudden see more of the older generation. Maybe we will start to see those World War II vets kind of finally saying, like, okay, fine. You know, all this fear was supposed to be about us elderly and the immune compromised, whatever. But now we've done it for this long, and two shots didn't work, and the boosters now, and blah 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 blah, and all of this. Maybe we will start to see more. I would say that we probably will start to see more of even those individuals going like, this is like, this is over. We're not. Yeah, I can't do this. I can't watch this anymore. Hopefully that happens sooner than later.
Yeah, well, insanity is unsustainable. So we got to remember that. Eventually, anytime that this kind of insanity has come up in the world, it didn't last. But how much we got to go through. It's like the doctor said there in the previous hour in our conversation, Todd, about them injecting children now. This is absolute beyond insanity, but maybe it's going to take for a few children, and I don't want to wish any child to suffer, but maybe that's going to be what's necessary to really wake parents up to what's going on, to get them to come out of this matrix. Maybe we need to poke them in the eye. Maybe we need mama bears, like I said many times, is to get parents really aware of what's actually going on. I think if we did that, I think you'd see this come to an end in a very short period of time. So really all we can do is just keep trudging forward and trying to share the truth. There's many people that listen. I know there's a lot of people in society that I talk to. It's like literally talking to a nail, but in the same mouthful, I believe that continued conversations with people now are starting to have an influence on, and I'm seeing that. So what else can we do at this point, my friend? What else can we do? Go ahead.
It's a lot of what you just said as well, too. Yeah, remain positive. Try to be, a support or a shining light for anybody out there that, needs it and maybe needs to hear some, the good questions that need to be asked. And hear, people's concerns, like the obvious concerns that, say, me and you have about this entire situation and about, what they want to do with, the children. And to keep pressing forward in that. And then, of course, build community, right? Continue to want to encourage people, and especially, people that are going to be going through tough times with finances and losing jobs and all kinds of other stresses that are put on people and whole family units because of, mandates for their businesses, for their places of work and so on and so forth. And continue to encourage, other business owners and like-minded individuals to want to go hire those people to you just have to build support nets in so many different ways. Like I mentioned earlier, start your own beer league wherever you can. Start your own little league for kids as well, too. If you have enough like-minded parents that are like, I'm not putting my kid in any league that says this, and this, and all this nonsense. Okay, band together, find others, find a place where you can do it on your own. It seems like a bit of an undertaking. If you have enough people together and they're throwing, their ideas, out there, same, putting their ideas together, putting their minds together, putting their own skill sets and their own, maybe options that they have, like, oh, hey, I know this guy who owns this plot of land. I know this, or I have access to this. All those, the more people you get, the more options you have, and then work with it and figure stuff out. The same for schooling as well, too. You can continue to send your kids to the public school and just say, like, my kid's coming, they're not wearing a mask. And if you tell them anything about vaccines or shots or whatever like that, then I'm just telling them to come home. And other things that you can do as well, too. Serve them a notice of liability, all those other things. And it just kind of helps back you up a little bit. If that's not going to work for you, then same thing like I just said with, the sports leagues and stuff like that. Find, build a community, find other people. We know that there's teachers and stuff like that, people that have been involved in education that are – losing their jobs or leaving willingly because they don't want to go along with it anymore. And so those are the individuals that you got to go tap on the shoulder and say, like, hey, if we got you 10 kids in this community and we all agreed to pay you for the next 7 months or whatever like that, would you basically be like our little tutor, our community little teacher? You know, figure that kind of stuff out. Figure out the homeschooling stuff. A lot of parents, it doesn't work to be doing it on their own, so you might need to do it in a community sense. Yeah, that might work better for everybody. You know, you got to try your best to find those options. You can push forward with what you're used to, which is, you know, the public schools and the actual proper sports leagues or whatever. But if there's too much pushback, or if it's just too uncomfortable and it's too much hassle, or you just generally don't like that thought anyways, then try doing it a little bit of a DIY situation. And, you know, and again, the more people you can throw into the mix of that, then the more options you'll have, and hopefully you'll find some successes. And that's just simply the way it's all working right now. You know, we are being forced into this situation that creates a general rift in society right straight down the middle. Because of that, even though it's our side, of course, and I think most of us all know this, that are the ones that want to be inclusive. You know, it's funny. Oh, everybody else who wants to play by all the rules, which, of course, if you play by all the rules, then you're never getting out of it. And more people should start to realize that as well, too. Masks for 2 years. That didn't change anything. Okay, going on the third shots now. That didn't change anything. You know.
Wait a second. It doesn't protect me. It doesn't stop me from getting it. It doesn't stop me from spreading it. And now we're going to get into third and fourth. I mean, when is it going to? When are the lights are going to come on?
God. Oh, no kidding. On that in a moment as well, too. But yeah, so you just, you just have to find your friends, find your like-minded individuals, and you know, just build community, build safety nets wherever possible and whenever possible, and hope to support one another, whether it's with helping somebody with a little bit of extra employment or whatever kind of employment you can get to them so they can continue to earn a living because they just lost, say, a job that they might have been at for years and years. People are losing full-on careers, things that they went to school for, things they have dumped time, energy, and money into for years and years over this stuff. And so, so things are going to take a drastic change. You know, if you have been a police officer or a nurse or a teacher for 20 years, 15 years, and you have now reached your line in the sand, there's a good chance your next job is going to be like helping out at the local hardware store. You know what I mean? Like,
back,
and that's
the case. Back to McDonald's.
That's right. But if that's the case, that's the case. You just need to be able to put up with that. And other people need to, you know, just be ready to assist and put those options forward. As far as the whole thing about, like, you know, like, let's take a look at this with the whole thing about, you know, the shots and how everything has completely just backfired there. Never mind that we even have Bill Gates on record saying, like, you know, we kind of failed with the shots. Like, all they could really do was just kind of lower symptoms and, you know, and that's still not really doing as much as we would really have liked it to do. So we have to take a look at, like, you know, at doing this in a better way and all that, which clearly points out to you right there that everything that they've been pushing out the door and mandating you to get has now been admitted by one of its creators as, like, kind of a weak attempt. We'll move forward, which is just hilarious. You don't have a weak attempt and oops, we'll move forward in a situation that's changing the entire world like this. But okay, all right, let's move on. You take a look at right now, Germany. Germany is now doing the same as, like, Austria and others with the whole big lockdown of the unvaccinated. Well, let's take a look at Germany for a second. How funny is this? Lockdown of the unvaccinated, which is a smaller portion of their population, because I think Germany's at about 70% vaccinated. And then you have Africa, and you can actually see headlines now, and this is too funny. I love it how mainstream media outlets will run a headline like this. Almost not even, I don't even know, either they're doing it as just something to run as a story because a scientist said this and they're a reputable scientist, so okay, cool. Or if they just don't even get what they're actually printing. Because you can see headlines going, you know, scientists are really scratching their head over the fact that Africa really is having no issues with anything COVID at all right now. Let's go take a look at Africa. Africa has the lowest, not just like a country in Africa, I mean like the whole freaking continent, has the lowest vaccine uptake percentage or whatever in the world. They're like, the amount of fully vaccinated people in Africa is like a drop in the bucket. It's like, it's an extremely low number. I want to say like 6 to 7 or 8%. Like, it's really low. But are they having massive issues? Do they have vax mandates? No. Do they have mask mandates? No. Do they have ridiculous cases, and a whole bunch of hospitalizations and scary numbers and fear porn all over the place because of how scary it all is? No. Why? Okay, again, let's compare. Germany. Lot of really fat, unhealthy people. Sorry, that's just a fact. You have a lot of overweight individuals in Germany. That don't really care about their health, I guess, in some of the ways that anybody should know. So you have a noticeable percentage of people in Germany that are just generally unhealthy. You have a I don't want to say overly overweight population. It's nowhere near as bad as the United States, but it's noticeable. You also have it as a northern climate as well, too. So a lot less sunlight. Okay, then you go look at Africa. Africa, vitamin D year-round there, man. and, of course, you have a lot of malnourishment in Africa, which would still be a problem for an immune system as well. But generally speaking, you have more just – you certainly don't have an overweight issue. You have more people who are spending all their days outside working, being physical, being, you know, working laborious jobs. And so therefore they don't have any of these issues. So what would you want to go tell the people of Germany after they've all got their 400 shots or whatever like that? Well, clearly, if you take a look at basic stats, you would want to go tell them to take vitamin D, to exercise, to get off the couch, to eat healthier and take their vitamins. That's what Africa's doing. And Africa also takes a lot of hydroxychloroquine and others as well, too, because of malaria. So funny enough, there it is right there. It's smacking you in the face. And those two stories could appear in your local newspaper almost like, you know, back to back. And people don't see it.
I got to break in on you, Todd. Hour is gone, man. Believe it or not, I got 2 minutes left on the air here. Real quick, your last thoughts, and I'm going to have to let you go. But we got to do this again.
I would absolutely love to. Barry, a pleasure to be back with you again. I'll just tell everybody quickly right now, if you're looking to find Winnipeg Alternative Media, we put out content almost daily. Our wonderful new home, wham.live, is you can go watch all of our live broadcasts there. We stream directly to our own website. We own all of our own content now. We don't have to worry about censorship or mainstream social media whatsoever.
Great.
Yes, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and others. We are on Rumble as well, too. But really, the big thing, the number one way to go find us and be a part of anything Winnipeg Alternative Media is at wham.live.
Thanks for coming in, Todd. Been a pleasure, and like I said, we'll have to do this again in the very near future.
Thanks. I would love to, Barry.
Okay. Well, guys, time's up, and it's been a really enjoyable show today. I think we brought a lot of good information forward. Thanks to Todd for coming in, and thanks to Roger and Dr. Hutchinson for what they brought forward today. What can I say? I don't think we could add much more to what's been said today. I hope that maybe some of us took some of this to heart today and really start looking at what we can do to make a change right now, because we are in some pretty crazy times, folks. But we're going to win. Let's stay positive. Thanks for joining me. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all. Have a great week, and bye for now.